the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile into the end zone. McCoy cuts to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
As I continually evaluate our roster and our goal to become better, I've decided to start Nate Peterman as our quarterback this week. I remain confident in Tyrod Taylor and his ability to help our football team moving forward.
That was the bombshell dropped 90 minutes ago by Bills head coach Sean McDermott when he met the media for his normal Wednesday news conference. Nothing normal about it after that. Good morning. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. And every time we think we get – I'm done trying to figure out what this team's all about. I don't understand, Donald. But I get it. I don't understand – let me retract. I don't understand how I was so wrong the other day, yesterday. That's what I don't get. And the one lesson I'm trying to learn is that these guys, McDermott and Brandon Bean, they will make moves, and they will make moves that shock you, and they won't leak those moves either, which is pretty impressive. So we got a lot to chew through here today. But that's, from a personal standpoint, that's the first thing, because I know I was saying on the air over the last 2 days, not going to happen this week, not going to happen this week, and boom, there it
well,
is.
Well, you know, because you're – we're going off of what
they
the coach say.
Yeah.
On what he said on Monday,
yeah.
You know, and Tyrod is our starter. Tyrod is our guy. Tyrod is our guy. But I think ultimately you go back and watch the film, as they probably went back and evaluated the film, and they say to themselves, this is not getting it done right now. And we know football is week to week. We know it's what have you done for me lately, all right? In the last two games, the Jets game, you know, he didn't play as bad. The game this past weekend was bad against the Saints, you know. And so when they go back and look at the full body of work since they've been here and what he's able to do, what he's not able to do, they probably look at the entire offense and say, okay, is he really a good fit for this offense? Because this is a timing-based offense, okay? And then you look at we bring in a big wide receiver and he doesn't get the ball, you know. He doesn't get the targets that he really needs to get, especially when he was open on so many different occasions.
Yeah.
The quarterback is not getting him the ball. What do we do? Because if we're not able to pass the ball to our number one, number two, number three wide receivers, we definitely can't run the ball, you know, because they're going to stack the box because nobody thinks that you're going to be able to throw the ball. And if you have so many teams say, we're going to force him to become a quarterback, that's what we're going to do. We're going to force him to become a quarterback, and they take away what it is that he does best week in and week out, you're almost forced as a coach to go ahead and make a change when your quarterback can't get it done for you.
Trying to figure out how it changed from Monday to today – when Sean McDermott, Sunday and Monday to today, when he repeatedly says, Tyrod is our quarterback, Tyrod is our quarterback. And the best I can come up with is that, you know, let's face it, McDermott's mantra is trust the process, respect the process. His process includes, I'm sure, very extensive video review after the game. And that probably takes place after he meets with the media on Mondays at 1 o'clock. And his process, I would guess, includes evaluation of moving forward and who's going to give us the best chance to win this week. So when he says trust the process, this I look at as an outgrowth of his process, which is getting his team ready to play, putting him in the best position to win. It is a shock when you make this move 2 days after saying that,
yeah.
But I'm certainly it's not a knee-jerk reaction. I know it's not a knee-jerk reaction by the head coach.
I would almost guarantee you, and I can't guarantee you this, but I would think that this is something that's been on his mind for a couple of weeks, you know, because – they evaluate their players. They evaluate everybody within the organization every week, especially the players on the field. And the quarterback is the number one position in all of sports, in my opinion. Quarterback is definitely the number one position in football. And so if your quarterback is not getting it done for you, then you have to go ahead and make a change. And the process, as we're talking about this whole process, I mean, he waited over half the season to make this change. Now he's going to make the change, and I think, you know, now you're going to look at it, and like I said earlier, I don't think you can go back to Tyrod Taylor now, okay? You have to trust the process as a coach and trust that and know that Nathan Peterman is going to have his ups and downs. Nathan Peterman is going to have some good plays on Sunday. He's going to have some bad plays on Sunday. But if he has all bad plays – in your process, you know that he's a rookie, and you have to grow with rookie quarterbacks, especially, it doesn't matter, first to fifth to undrafted rookies, but you're talking about a fifth-round quarterback, okay? And so you have to understand that he's going to have some good throws, he's going to have some bad throws, he's going to have some moments where it might be a delay of game, and it's like, oh, man, you know, but he has to grow, and they have to grow with him through this, and that's a part of this process now. So you don't go back to Tyrod Taylor.
Well, even though you're saying that, but McDermott just said, was asked specifically at his news conference today, you know, well, he wouldn't rule it out. He said, no, this does not mean we're going this way the rest of the season. He would not rule out going back to him. Again, we know the peril involved in taking him at his word because he's right. changed his mind, uh-huh. but you're ruling that out.
I'm ruling it out. I don't think it's as, I think you stick with Nathan Peterman for the rest of the season and you figure out, because I think this is a move, and I don't want this to be misconstrued as the team is tanking and they're trying to look towards the draft, but I do think this is a move to see where they can go with Nathan Peterman as the quarterback. As you still sit in the sixth spot in the playoffs, where can this kid take us? Can he get us through the playoffs? You know, and he has to come in under pressure now. He's not coming in the beginning of the season where he might feel like, I got a couple of games to learn this thing. No, everybody on this team is looking at you right now for you to come in here and make plays. Can you come in here and make plays? And if he can do that, it allows them to, in their mind, figure out their entire draft process and what they want to do, or free agency of quarterbacks. You know, do we need to go out here and swing for the fences and try to get a quarterback in the first round? Or can this kid be our guy moving forward? Maybe we can afford to have our second first round pick, which is later in the first round. Maybe we can afford to wait until then, or wait until, you know, the second round, third round to draft one. I think this move, changing the quarterback, means a lot for right now, but it also means a lot for the future of the franchise and what they want to do in the draft or free agency this year.
I would agree with you. As far as the future, it means that Tyrod does not figure in their future plans.
I don't think so.
But as far as going back to him this year, we'll see. Again, McDermott wouldn't rule that out today. You believe that they are going to rule it out? We'll mm-hmm. see. I don't know. I think the Bills are hoping that there is significant development for Nathan Peterman over these final seven games, and who knows, perhaps into the playoffs. I think it's also, and maybe the truest thing that, or at least what resonated most with me, that Sean McDermott said at his 9:30 news conference today, when he talked about, look, we acknowledge we're 5-4, we're in the sixth wild card spot, we're in the sixth spot in the playoffs right now, but that's not good enough. That's not what we're going for.
Right.
I think that was significant. He's saying, again, as it's been since they took over, since he took over in February, and since Brandon Bean came on board in April, it's been long-term view and short-term winning. Now, can you do both at the same time? They are testing the limits of that, I would think. But clearly, they're not going to make short-term decisions. They're not going to let short-term decisions override what they believe is best for the franchise long-term, and I think that plays into this as well.
You know, I struggle with this. I go back and forth on, you never know what the coach is and what Brandon Bean is thinking. But you go back to when this team was sitting at 5-2, you know, it makes you wonder, did they expect to be at 5-2? Now, you know what you're doing. You know the talent that you have on the team. You know that you had made some big-time moves, you know, and they made some moves before – they lost these last two games. They made a lot of moves to trade away guys, to get guys here. They made some moves in free agency. So it makes me wonder, did they expect to be sitting at 5-2? Well, now you're sitting at 5-2, and you lose two straight games. One against the Jets that you didn't really expect to play like that. The Saints game, I didn't expect them to play as bad as they did. I didn't know if they would win that game or not, because the Saints are a very good team. But now you're sitting at 5-4, still sitting in the playoff spot. And it makes you think, okay, we really have a chance in this thing. Now, do we need to make a move right now? Because the quarterback is not getting it done for us right now. And it makes you wonder if that was their thinking. They didn't expect to be as good as they have played up to, you know, before the past two games. But then when they go and they look back at the film from the last two games, they're like, all right, this is not getting it done for us. And we have a shot to get into the playoffs in our first year, which maybe we didn't expect to get to in our first year, even though we weren't tanking. But we got to make a move to get this thing back going in the right direction.
It's a bold move, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. It is a bold move, and we're here to talk about it with you. We are an hour early, by the way, in case you're checking your watch. We decided to preempt the hockey show, the Instigators, and start our show at 11 a.m.
You should. Those guys were like, they were probably excited to get off air. Like, what, you guys are gonna take over this hour for us? Yeah. You know, now we're doing 4 hours. I swear, we always get. the long blocks here, and those guys, they get off on Mondays. They get a lot of days off.
You know, you can take your complaints to the people in charge here, right? Because I can't help you with that.
I complain to those guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I can't help you with that. Here until 3 today with coming up in this hour. We're going to talk with you a lot about this decision. We may hear from a former college teammate of Nathan Peterman at Pitt, get his take on what went down here today, just sort of some background on Nathan Peterman. Steve Tasker is going to join us coming up around 12 noon. Thurman Thomas is going to join us at 1 o'clock. Nick Hardwick, who is the color analyst for the Los Angeles Chargers Radio Network, will join us a little bit later on today. We may get Nathan Peterman in studio. We will certainly hear from him after practice. We'll go to Chris Brown, the Bills insider, BuffaloBills.com, when practice begins just about an hour from now. A lot to talk about, including the big decision. Nathan Peterman's going to start this Sunday against the Chargers. Your thoughts on that? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. I got to say this, too. There is plenty of analysis. There will be, and there has been already, and especially I've read some national analysis like, yeah, I mean, you gave up 300 yards rushing to the Saints, so switch the quarterback. What are you doing, Buffalo? I think that's sort of superficial. If you follow this team, as most of our listeners have for a couple of years when Tyrod's been the starter, his flaws have been exposed, his strengths as well. And they've been well documented. We talk about it all the time, what Tyrod does well, what he doesn't do well. He's got 38 starts in his NFL career. I believe that's the number. Yeah, 38 starts, 20 wins, 18 losses. I believe, and I have now for all this season, those numbers and our assessment of Tyrod have been accurately reflected. I mean, what you see from Tyrod Taylor this year is what you got from him last year and the year before that. A slightly better than average quarterback who struggles making tight window throws, struggles pulling the trigger on tight window throws. This is nothing we haven't talked about on this show for a couple of years now, or at least a year. And it was, again, borne out this past week against the Saints when there were throws to be made, plays to be made, and he did not make them. Which is, you know, it'll be interpreted, I think, maybe by some Buffalo fans, but more, I think, more significantly by people outside of the Bills and outside of the following the Bills. People will say, well, what is Buffalo doing? You know, they gave up 47 points to the Saints. How can the quarterback be the problem?
But
that's not it. I think if you say that, you don't really have a clear understanding of what's gone on here and how Tyrod has played.
And right. And if you're saying that, and you just don't really understand football, because it's a revolving door. You know, if your quarterback is not making the plays, your offense is not staying on the field. If your quarterback is not making throws, you can't throw the ball, you can't run the ball, and you get three and out, three and out, three and out. And now your defense is on the field against a Saints team that is a machine on offense, and they can do whatever they want to any team in the NFL right now. That's how good they are playing. So you can't consistently give them the ball back. And so as the quarterback, if you're not – the players on that team are saying, we're going to force your quarterback to be a quarterback.
And they've said it for 2 years now.
Too. Right. You know, so if
there's nothing new there. Right?
There's nothing new
we've
there.
We've seen this, and we've heard it.
Right.
And it's been out there. And we haven't denied it either. I mean, people will accuse us of, defending Tyrod. No, we see his flaws. We've talked about his flaws to a point where I can't talk about it anymore. I get tired of it. Yesterday I said to you, I can't handle people pointing out, you know, Tyrod's flaws anymore because nobody's breaking any new ground. Well, today there's new ground broken.
There's new ground broken today. this is a big move, and it sends a message throughout your entire team. You know, and it's really in
how
you it's really in how you interpret that.
What is that message?
I don't know what the message is. I really don't know what the message is. But when you bench your captain and starting quarterback, it does send a message throughout your team. It's really on each individual player to interpret that message, how they take it. All right. Do you take it as we're trying to win, or do you take it as we don't really care, we're trying to look towards the draft? It's really on you. If you're a true professional, it doesn't really matter. I'm coming to work every day anyway, and I'm going to do my job on the field because, like I said the other day, every individual player on that field played bad in the last game. All of them. They all played bad because they got it handed to them on every single front of this team. They just did not play well. So if you want to say, well, they're changing the quarterback, they're looking towards the draft, you should look at yourself too because everybody's days are numbered on this team and how they played this past weekend.
We should talk about this too. And I won't frame it in this way. We may or may agree on this. Does benching Tyrod
– you know you just said may or may.
May or may not.
I mean, all right.
You want me to point out all of your
no,
missteps?
No, I'm just saying.
Because I have it on paper, as you know. I have it right here. Does benching Tyrod, does playing Peterman enhance the Bills' chances of making the playoffs this year. Now, let me say at the outset, and Sean McDermott perfectly articulated it an hour and a half ago when he said we're 5-4. That's not good enough. We don't want to be 5-4. We want to be essentially championship caliber, and that's what this move is all about, being better than 5-4, being better than being in contention for a wild card playoff spot. So I get that. I agree with that. I like that. But from an analysis standpoint, does benching Tyrod, playing Nathan Peterman, enhance their playoff chances this year? And we all know the history, 17 straight years without a playoff berth. Folks are desperate. I'm desperate. Love to call a playoff game someday. I would be hard-pressed to argue that this makes their chances better, at least in this standpoint. I don't know. I've seen Peterman, like what I've seen. I don't know if he makes them better this year. And I think that's worth discussing. What do you think, Donald?
I think to start Nathan Peterman makes them better in this sense. Nathan Peterman, in my opinion, is a better fit for the type of offense that they're trying to run, especially passing the ball. He is a better fit for passing the ball. This is a timing offense, okay? This is an offense built off of West Coast principles. And anybody who
– Can I stop you? Tyrod Taylor is going to speak at the podium right now.
Okay.
And we'll get back to that issue because it's important. But Tyrod Taylor meeting with the media – okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. We're not ready yet.
He must have stepped back down and said no. Nathan Peterman fits this offense. It's a timing-based offense. He gets the ball out of his hands a lot faster. If your offensive line is not able to hold up for, 5 seconds, well, now you got a quarterback that's getting the ball out in two. All right? This is a quarterback that's going to read the defense and get the ball out of his hands fast. Will you have some bad throws? Yeah, you might. Will you have some interceptions? You might have that too. He is a rookie. But you do know that now this kid can get the ball out of his hands. He's going to throw it to everybody. He's coming into this thing. He doesn't have any pressure on him in terms of who to throw the ball to. Look, I'm not best friends with this guy.
Come on. You're saying that's what Tyrod was doing? Throwing to his best friends?
No, I'm not saying that. Oh. What I'm saying is he, as a rookie, is coming into this thing. He doesn't have any of that pressure. So he's going to get the ball out of his hands to the person that is open. And that's all that matters. All right? Now, Tyrod Taylor, he wasn't getting the ball out of his hands fast. And so the offensive line has to hold up a lot longer than they really need to. And they have to run around and make different blocks, and that's when you can possibly get holding calls and stuff that they were getting. Now you have a quarterback, you know where he's going to be. He's going to drop back and just get the ball out of his hands. I think he fits the offense better. And because of that, I think it gives them a better chance at making the playoffs. I also think that he's going to take some shots down the field. And I think that's not what Tyrod Taylor was doing as of late. He was not taking shots down the field. He's going to get the ball to Kelvin Benjamin, and that's going to back off these defenses from stacking 8 players in the box. Now, they're going to force him to throw the ball. These defenses are going to – you're a rookie coming into this thing right now. Show us that you can play. And so he's going to have to come out here and play. But if he gets the ball out of his hands fast, I think it helps the offense more than Tyrod was doing right now.
Okay, so you think it does enhance their
playoff? I think it enhances
their playoff. For the sake of argument, there are some who would say the Bills should have tailored their offense. Rick Dennison in particular should have tailored their offense more to Tyrod's strengths. I don't necessarily agree with that because I think they have a plan of what they think will be winning football. But people are arguing that already. Why didn't they tailor what they were doing to Taylor? Let's go to the podium. Tyrod Taylor speaking at the podium right now in the media room.
Your feelings about what went down yesterday with you and Sean?
Obviously disappointed. I don't agree with the decision, but the decision was made. Got to move forward.
What was his reason? Did he give you reasons why?
You have to ask Coach McDermott for that.
Feel you've been betrayed?
Just disappointed. That's one of the feelings, but definitely just disappointed. Like I said, I don't agree with the decision, but ultimately, Coach McDermott has a vision for this team, what he feels is best for the team, as well as the owners and GM. So I have to move forward and continue to be the teammate and the leader that I am from a different role.
Are you shocked or surprised by this?
Yes.
Would you prefer if they were going to do this, and I believe they had in mind all along, you would have gone somewhere else where you would have –
I can't rewind back to the offseason when the deal was worked out. That's neither here nor there right now. Like I said, I'd have to move forward and continue to prepare. And if the opportunity presents itself, to go out there and continue to keep doing what I'm doing.
Did you feel, Tyrod, that the offense was suited to you, not just in its structure,
but in how the game plans were put together, taking best advantage of what you do best, which, of course, is doing a lot of things on the move, working on those edges.
Yes. Offense was definitely suited towards me, as well as a couple other guys, Shady, as well as a couple of receivers and tight ends that we have, too. So that's definitely a factor. But moving forward, the focus would be around Nate and some of the things that he does best.
Did you feel, though, that they wanted you to be more pocket? It just seemed like that was what we saw in the offseason, what we saw in training camp.
It was a focus to throw from the pocket, but at the same time, it was more so just finding different ways to beat teams, and certain weeks are going to call for different things.
Moving forward, Tyrod, how much do you envision yourself being quarterback here next season?
That's really not up to me. All I can do is control the opportunities that I get moving forward the rest of the season and deal with that when it comes. But like I said,
do you feel any way different with this decision in comparison to what happened at the end of last year? Does this feel different in any way to that?
Whenever you take someone off the field and stop them from competing, it's definitely a tough feeling to go through. But I think last year's situation was a little different. Some of the same feelings are still there, but we still have a season ahead of us. Things can happen, and I have to continue to be in it mentally and prepare my body physically for when the opportunity presents itself, if it does.
How difficult will it be for you to serve as a captain of this team in light of this decision?
Vocally, I still have to go out there and still lead the guys. I got voted captain for a reason, and that's those attributes, things that come with me being the quarterback of this team doesn't necessarily fade away. I'm still that same person. I have to show that leadership, and I think now guys are probably going to look to me even more to see how I respond in this situation.
Did you have any idea Sean had been considering doing this over the last few weeks?
No. Did you?
What's your relationship with Nathan, and you know, what will be your relationship as you switch roles here going forward?
Nate is a great guy. Of course, he's still learning, but he's very talented. And moving forward, I have to be able to help him in any way, shape, and form. I want to see this team do well, so I have to be there for him to support.
Is there anything you could think of at this point where you may have reconsidered or done differently on the field over the past couple of weeks?
No. He learned from playing over 5-4. Games didn't go the way we liked. Some of the ones that we lost, but got to learn from it. I wouldn't say it's pinpoint any one thing that I did that led to this decision.
Do you feel at all like you're being scapegoated in any way with this?
I have to talk to Coach McDermott.
Two weeks ago.
I have to talk to Coach McDermott.
How much do you think Kirk Dennison and the new offensive system has played into what has happened this season?
Say that one more time.
How much do you think that Kirk Dennison having a new offensive system has played into what has happened today?
And
as far as your performance and what Sean saw and mentioned,
I'm really not sure. Like I said, you have to talk to Coach McDermott about that.
How comfortable are you with Rico's system?
I'm very comfortable with it. But like anyone in a first season in that system, quarterback, wide receiver, running back, it takes time. And I think where we are as a team right now with a full season ahead of us, I mean, we've handled the situation well. Like I said, could we have been better in some games? Yes, but that's everyone across the league. We're in a great place at 5-4 right now. Not a goal that we wanted to be 5-4. Of course, we wanted to have a better record, but we still have everything in front of us. We're not out of the playoffs anymore.
Speaking of that, have you, in the last 24 hours, whatever it's been since you were told this, what kind of reaction have you gotten from veteran teammates like Shady, like others who – just what you said, you're 5-4, you're still in the playoff hunt, and the veteran quarterback is being put a step aside for a rookie.
Some guys didn't find out till this morning. I didn't really see too many people yesterday after I was told the news, so some people just heard the news for the first time today.
And
we haven't really had a chance to talk. It's been meetings after meetings and just had a walkthrough. So
I'm pretty sure.
Hold on one second. I'm pretty sure over the next 24 hours we'll get a chance to talk.
Do you anticipate any sense of that?
I really don't know.
How tough is it that, for you as a competitor, that this decision comes when you are in the playoffs, when you're holding the playoffs?
It's definitely tough. Like I said, I don't agree with it at all. But I don't make that call, so I have to continue to prepare.
As someone who sat for 4 years to wait for a starting job, do you think they might be underestimating how difficult it will be for a guy like Nate to just walk in there now and play well?
Coach has tremendous confidence in Nate. As a team, we've got to know Nate over the last couple months. And like I said, he's talented. And the opportunity that he has in front of him will present itself. And I wish him the best with it. Like I said, it's a great group of guys that he's going out there and playing with. And hopefully we can get to the playoffs.
Do you think you've gotten a fair chance?
Go ahead, Joe.
Joe,
thank
you. Do you think you've gotten a fair chance in
Buffalo? I don't really look at life as fair or unfair. There's going to be plenty of circumstances that you go through that's not fair or fair. Just got to deal with it, to be honest.
When you say you don't agree with the decision, how do you keep in your head not to allow your emotions and frustrations and disappointment to run away from you and to remain composed?
Because at the end of the day, I'm asked to do a job. And when I come in to the facility, whether I'm at the starter, backup, I have to continue to prepare. You never know when that opportunity will present itself. Stuff happened in this league, and you have to be ready for when the opportunity happens. I mean, when the opportunity presents itself, so, I will be ready. I continue to prepare the way I normally do, and if and when that opportunity presents, then I'll be ready to go out there and play.
Tyrod, coach said that this decision is not an indictment on Tyrod. It's an effort to become a better team. What is your interpretation of that statement?
Yeah, I asked Coach McDermott about that, honestly.
Is this a circumstance where,
good morning,
when a team's doing really well, maybe the quarterback gets too much credit? When a team struggles, maybe the quarterback gets too much blame?
Not sure. You guys have to answer that. I mean, that comes with the quarterback position sometimes. Praise as far as when it's not deserved. And sometimes the criticism when it's not deserved too. But I don't know if this situation falls in under that category or not.
How about when it comes after the worst defensive performance in 10 years?
As a team, we got some things to clean up. We didn't play well the last two games, and we're working hard to fix that.
Tyrod, how confident are you that you can still be a franchise quarterback in this league, whether it's here or somewhere else?
Very confident. I'm very confident in my ability. I think I've grown as a player over the past 3 years, and I'm going to continue to keep growing, whether I'm playing on Sundays or whether I'm learning right now. So I'm going to continue to keep growing, and I have full confidence that I can be a franchise quarterback. Just when the opportunity presents itself, I'll continue to keep doing the things that I know how to do.
How much does this add to that? I mean, it's not the first time that somebody's told you weren't good enough. How much does this add to that?
Just add more fuel to the fire. I'm going to continue to keep working hard and harder, preparing harder and harder. So when that opportunity does present, whether it's here or whoever knows, whenever it happens, that I can go out there.
Feel like there's been pressure from inside this building for you to fit into a box of what they think a franchise quarterback should be?
Excuse me, one more time?
Do you feel like there's been an undue amount of pressure to kind of fit into the box of what someone feels like a franchise quarterback should be?
I think, first and foremost, they want someone that wins consistently. I think that's more so where the franchise quarterback starts. You can't necessarily say what a guy looks like, height, size, or anything like that. Someone that's winning consistently. And I think we're off to a good start this year. So
do you feel those schematically they could have done more to utilize your skill set?
Except you have to ask Coach McDermott.
I mean, do you feel that way?
You have to ask Coach McDermott. Thank you.
Thanks, Tyrod.
Tyrod Taylor, Bills quarterback, no longer the starter this week, addressing the media over in the media room. The Bills in between their walkthrough in the morning. They'll have a head out on the practice field about 30 minutes from now. And we are here an hour earlier with the John Murphy Show, John Murphy and Donald Jones, because of the upheaval. Nathan Peterman named the starter this Sunday for the Bills game against Los Angeles. Tyrod Taylor benched. talking to the media today, saying he was shocked by the decision, doesn't agree with the decision, doesn't like it, and yet he says, I'm the captain, still have to lead the guys. He talked about Nathan Peterman, says, I have to support Peterman. He's talented. I wish him the best. I don't agree with the decision at all, but I don't make that call. Let me say this about Tyrod. What's that?
I wouldn't agree with it if I was a player.
Let me say this about Tyrod, though. Through all of this, for 2.5 years now, he is a good teammate, I think. You know, I really do. He's put up with a lot, Donald. He's been benched now twice, once last year in a meaningless game, which sort of set up his offseason, and now benched again. He has flaws as a passer. We know that. Flaws playing the position. He is, I believe, a little bit better than average quarterback. His record reflects that. His numbers reflect that. But in terms of being a teammate and in terms of handling adversity, and dealing with the questions when this kind of stuff goes on. I mean, he's had his contract readjusted twice, and he handles it. And I give him a lot of credit for that. I've seen guys here over the years. I've seen guys who react. I'm thinking of you, Doug Flutie, you know, who react in a bad way when something bad like this happens to their career. And Tyrod is not that guy, and I salute him for that. I really do.
I salute him for being a professional as well, you know. And he learned a lot sitting behind Joe Flacco down there in Baltimore about being a professional, a professional quarterback. Look, Joe Flacco has had some good years and some bad years as well. And, you know, Tyrod learned a lot down there. He has been nothing but professional. He's always worked. He's always been the first one in the building, the last one out of the building. It's just the performance on the field itself hasn't been up to par in the coach's mind, you know. And so they felt like they had to make this change. But that is never – it's definitely not a knock on Tyrod Taylor and how professional he has been, and how good of a teammate he is. That's why he was voted a captain by his team, and that's why, you know, so many guys on the team, you know, respect him for everything that he has gone through, and his decision to restructure his contract and come on back to Buffalo. He didn't have to do that. I'm sure other teams out there would have given him the same amount of money and probably gave him a full 5-year deal, you know, with how desperate teams are for quarterbacks in this league. He's been nothing but professional. It's just the play on the field. What have you done for me lately? They feel like they need to move in a different direction right now.
All right, we're going to move in a different direction moving forward on the show. We're here until 3 today to talk about this. Steve Tasker is going to join us next hour. Thurman Thomas will be by at 1 o'clock. Maybe we get Nathan Peterman, either pick up his news conference after practice or maybe live in studio here as the afternoon moves along. Coming up next, though, going to get a sense of who Nathan Peterman is with his former teammate at Pitt, former Pittsburgh quarterback, former color analyst on Pitt Football on the radio. Pat Bostick standing by to join us coming up next. Of course, we are going to get to your phone calls as well. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
As I continually evaluate our roster and our goal to become better, I've decided to start Nate Peterman as our quarterback this week. I remain confident in Tyrod Taylor and his ability to help our football team moving forward.
Sean McDermott making the announcement 9:30 this morning, a couple of hours ago. John Murphy, and an early version of the show today. We got a jump start because of the news. We're here with Donald Jones.
You know, it's big news, and so we needed to get an early start on this thing because, I mean, I was on the hockey show, and people were calling the hockey show to talk about football. So this is do you think – I mean, obviously people are excited. Is this a move that really, really shocks you, or is it a move that it shocks you?
Well, mostly because McDermott 2 days ago said he's our quarterback. Yeah. Absolutely, it shocks me. You telling me it doesn't shock you?
I mean, it's shocking. I mean, also, when you look at how Tyrod played, it's like, all right, the coach comes to a point where it's like, I can't – we got to do something else to move in a different direction.
I get that part.
But it's definitely shocking, you know, but it's something that you know will happen at some point in this league. Now, can I say I expected it to happen right now? No. I did, to be honest with you, expect the way Tyrod played this past week, if he continued to play that way, I expected it in the next few games. I didn't expect them to still do it sitting at 5-4 in a 6-spot.
No, me neither. We're both on record of saying that. Hey, joining us on the line, now the Bills move forward with Nathan Peterman as their quarterback, obviously. Nathan Peterman just joined the team this year as a draft pick, fifth-round pick of the Bills. And joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a guy who has some knowledge of Nathan Peterman because he covered him in his role as a color analyst on the Pitt Panthers radio network. He played quarterback at Pittsburgh, too. Happy to have Pat Bostick, who's in the Pitt Athletic Department, on the Subway Fresh Take line with us right now. Pat, John Murphy, and Donald Jones, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
I misspoke earlier. You were not a teammate of Nathan Peterman. You were ahead of him by a couple of years. But tell us about your observations and where you saw Peterman during his Pitt career.
Well, certainly, you know, we were fortunate, kind of an unlikely or unusual grad transfer destination where he actually got to play 2 years for us at Pitt since he graduated in 3 at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. He came in and we had a sitting returning starting quarterback in 2015. It was Pat Narduzzi's first year. Nathan won the job and got better and better, had an offensive coordinator change from 15 to 16, and led the highest scoring offense in school history last year. And, threw 27 touchdowns, 7 INTs. Things that jumped out about him, not the biggest arm, not the fastest guy, not the tallest guy, so the measurables aren't the greatest. But I think his leadership and his anticipation in the pocket, his toughness, are things that really showed throughout his career here at Pitt. And obviously they've showed thus far in Buffalo. He throws a great ball, got plenty of arm strength, won't throw it farther than a lot of people, but plenty of zip and anticipation. And those are the things that I think made him successful in his time here as a college quarterback.
You know, Pat, when I think of his time at Pitt, I don't get to see many Pitt football games. But the one game that I do remember, I think we all remember, is, when they beat Clemson last year. What did he show in that game that led you to believe this guy can really make some things happen at the next level?
I think, you watch quarterback play and, oftentimes the camera pans to the wideout when the ball's thrown. I think what I noticed most from that game was the beating he took after he threw the football. And he kept getting up and getting up and getting up and making throw after throw. I mean, tight, big-time throws that you need to make to beat the number two team in the country on the road. And that was his that game for him was a career-defining game. I think if you flip on that tape, there are several plays in that game that qualify as big time. He ran an offense, too, that did rely on him as a runner at times. He can move the chains with his feet. By no means is he, Michael Vick, but he is certainly fleet of foot enough to move the chains with his feet. He did that in that game as well and ran an offense with shovel passes and option plays that, we had one ball on the ground last year on exchanges, and we were on jet sweeps and read zone options with shovel passes, one ball on the ground. So this guy protects the rock, and I think that stood out when you win games like that on the road. You're not turning the ball over. He didn't do that in that game, and it made a bunch of plays that kind of were the stuff of legend.
We're on the line with Pat Bostic, associate AD at University of Pittsburgh. He's a former Pitt quarterback himself, color analyst on the Pitt Radio football radio network. Hey, Pat, let me ask you about what scouts call arm talent. And you mentioned some of Nathan's attributes, but is there enough arm talent there? And I'm talking about strength and accuracy in particular, and I guess quick release. Is there enough arm talent there to succeed at the next level, at the NFL level? What have you seen?
I think there's no question. I mean, I think, is he going to heave the ball, 75 yards in the air? Probably not. But he can get it out there with most people. And plenty of zip, throws a tight spiral, quick release, high release, which makes up, one of the things you watch when you watch him throw, the ball is released at such a high point, and he's quick to get it to the kind of the cock position to get it up there. Being only, 6'2", he makes up for that with a high release point. He's by no means close to even being three-quarter. I mean, he's way up there. So the arm talent's there, and I think what makes up for maybe the lack of elite arm talent, like Matthew Stafford arm talent or Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers arm talent, is his anticipation. He is a student of the game. He's smart. He will understand what a defense is trying to do to him. And he knows, he's keenly aware of his limitations and that he needs to be on time and in rhythm to make throws at that level. And the tape that I've gotten to watch of him playing both preseason and then last week, you can see the anticipation translate to the next level, which doesn't always happen when defenses are able to spin and turn and morph much faster and much later in the snap count than they do in college just because of the talent you have. But certainly the arm talent's there, and I think he also is able to augment the arm talent he has his mind.
Hey, Pat, you know, as you talk about the anticipation, and that has a lot to do with the pro-style offense that he played with at Pitt and I guess at Tennessee as well. You know, how big is that offense for a guy who doesn't have as much arm strength as other quarterbacks? How big is it to learn in a pro-style offense in college?
That's huge. I mean, you know, now you watch football now and college ball, you know, one of the first things a lot of people are doing when they get a quarterback in there is teaching them how to take a snap from under center, because they've rarely done it, as you know, other than maybe goal line and quarterback sneak. So Nathan obviously played a lot under center, played a lot in the gun as well, which is, you know, becoming more and more a part of the pro style offense as time has gone on. But I think, you know, the reads, progression reads, you know, being able to, you know, when you spread people out in college, with the hash marks the way they are, there's a lot of field to cover, just based on the hashes, and it forces defense to kind of show you their hand. But when you play in a pro style offense and you condense things in, you condense the defense, so they're able to morph and spin and disguise things a little bit better. And I think you get used to seeing that. You know, when you get into the pro game, obviously, and then you know, defenses are spinning, you know, after the snap, spinning the coverage, coming from depth on blitz because of the speed they have. So I think playing in a pro-style offense and seeing defenses play in a shell that is, you know, more translatable to the next level was huge for him. And I think it's huge for any quarterback that's fortunate enough to play in a pro-style system in college.
Hey, Pat, you know, Nathan's only been around here for about 6 months, a little bit more than 6 months. And, you know, we've seen him play a little bit. You talked about watching the video. But to me, the overriding impression I've received from Nathan Peterman, talking with him, having him on our show, being around him a little bit, is his maturity. He's 23 years old. You'd think he was 30 years old, the way he just processes questions and handles situations and his serious-minded approach. That's been the one thing that's the one takeaway I have from being around Nathan Peterman for 6 months. You've seen that, right, I would imagine?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, yeah, he got married going into his senior year last year, which you know, again, not common. I mean, I was engaged my senior year, so I was closer to that than the opposite. But you know, he's a mature kid. You know, I believe his father's a pastor down in Florida. I've spent time with him outside of football, and he's a gracious young man that you know, is values the opportunity he has and doesn't take anything for granted. You know, he genuinely loves the game, and it's evident in how he handles himself. I mean, he is a mature kid. He's a mature man, and I think that'll certainly help him. If he goes out and has success, then you know, certainly we're rooting for him to tear off, you know, 5-6 wins in a row here.
Yeah.
Up in Buffalo, if he does that, it won't affect him. He'll be the same guy, and that's something that Buffalo Bills fans should not be concerned about. He will not. Nothing will go to his head, because his head is planted squarely on his shoulders, and it won't grow in size.
We'll take those 5 or 6 wins in a row. Thanks, Pat. Yeah,
I'm rooting for you guys, man.
We'll sign out for that. Thank you, Pat. Thanks for giving us this insight into Nathan Peterman in Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Pat Bostic is associate AD at Pitt, color analyst on the Pitt Panthers radio network, former quarterback at Pitt. He had a pretty good handle on Nathan Peterman in terms of what he did well and his arm talent. You know, I thought he had a lot of good things to say about Nathan Peterman.
You know, Nathan Peterman really is who he was coming out of college. Like, we know the arm talent. We know the quick release. We've seen it on different occasions here, preseason and in this past game. I think he's a mature kid, like he talked about. The whole getting married thing in college, you know, you can take both sides of that if that's mature or not. But I think that Nathan Peterman is, for me, ultimately, he's a good fit for the offense because of how he anticipates and reads defenses. And I think that is very important when you're playing in a timing-based offense. And that's what this offense is, you know. So, you know, the interesting thing is you got two former Pitt Panthers in the backfield now with him and LeSean McCoy.
Yeah. I got a question for you, and we'll save it for after the break, but it deals with the timing of this decision. So think about that for a little bit.
Okay.
We're going to come back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. The Bills have promoted Nathan Peterman. He'll be the starter at quarterback on Sunday against the Chargers. We've talked about it for the last 45, 50 minutes or so. Going to give you a chance to talk a little bit about it. David on the line. David, go ahead. You've been waiting patiently. Go ahead. You're on the air. Hello, David. David, I know you've been waiting. Don't want to cut you off, David. Let's go to Andrew in Buffalo. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, John. This is Andrew, and I was just calling to say I feel really bad for Tyrod. I really loved his work ethic, his motivation, and I thought he was a great teammate. And I think this will definitely sever the tie that we have with Tyrod, and I doubt he'll want to come back next year.
I agree.
Well, you know, as of right now, that's a team option, you know, that they have to exercise and figure out what they want to do. But I think that, I wouldn't want to come back. If I've been benched twice, I wouldn't want to come back. But he has to look at himself in the mirror, you know, and he has to get better as a player. And that's just what it is. This league, that's how this league works, all right? There are plenty of guys that have been cut, plenty of guys that have been benched. He's gotten his opportunities, you know, and he had a big opportunity this year. And he hasn't been able to really capitalize on those opportunities on a consistent basis enough for coaches to say this is our franchise quarterback moving forward, you know. So I know you probably feel bad for him, but at the same time, he knows what he's in right now. You know, he knows this is how the NFL works, especially that position.
On the question of the timing, I talked about this before we went to break, Donald. If it's hard to do because Tyrod played so poorly against the Saints. But if Peterman, how much did Peterman's Sunday performance against the Saints contribute to this decision today? Can I give you my answer first? Mm-hmm. Very little, minuscule.
Right.
I think Sunday's performance against the Saints in a soft zone, protecting a huge lead, I think if anything, it confirmed what those coaches saw in preseason and have seen in practice from Nathan Peterman. I think it had almost nothing to do with the decision today. Your thoughts?
I think it's what they saw in preseason. I think it's what they saw in practice. Look, coaches know at the end of the game, look, basically all he was doing was pitch and catch out there. It was prevent defense, all right? They're going to allow you to catch the ball, and receivers, if you want to run, you can go ahead and try. You're going to get smacked, so go ahead and get down. But I think it's all what he has done in practice, what he does in the meeting rooms, how he prepares, what he did back in the preseason since he's been here, the maturity, all of that stuff, that package. Sunday's game really, in my opinion, has nothing to do with the decision to put him in. Coaches know what defense that they were playing. That they know that was garbage time. Yeah, it was good to see him make throws in an actual game.
Pull the trigger quickly, right, as he had been doing.
Well, we already knew that, right, and the coaches already knew that. You know, it's what he's done to lead up to this. And like I said earlier, I think the coach has been probably thinking about this for a little while, you know, and saying, Nathan is coming along. I like what he's doing. If Tyrod can't get it together, we might have to make this decision. Sunday put that icing on the cake.
Because of Tyrod.
Because of Tyrod.
Yeah. All right, more to come, including Steve Tasker. He'll join us at the top of the hour, so come on back. We're here until 3. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
At the update from One Bills Drive, yes, there is news today. The Bills have bench quarterback Tyrod Taylor. They're going with Nathan Peterman at quarterback against the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday. Sean McDermott made the announcement 9:30 this morning, saying this is about becoming a better team. Tyrod has made improvements. This is not an indictment on Tyrod Taylor. Taylor's been the Bills starter for 2.5 seasons. 7-year veteran started the first 9 games this season, completing 64% of his passes, career best, throwing 10 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. Tyrod spoke with the media about an hour ago, saying he was shocked by the decision, does not agree with it, but he says he is still the captain and has to lead his team, and he says he plans on supporting Nathan Peterman, saying if Peterman, Taylor said he's talented, I wish him the best. Number of Bills not expected to practice today as practice starts in just a minute or two, including left tackle Cordy Glenn with his foot and ankle, defensive end Jerry Hughes with his shin, running back Mike Tolbert, tight end Charles Clay. Rest days coming up for Kyle Williams, LeSean McCoy, Lorenzo Alexander. Limited today, Jordan Matthews, but another receiver, Zay Jones, expected to get a full turn in practice, and he may be ready to return. Bills opponents, the Los Angeles Chargers, they say they are encouraged that Philip Rivers will be ready for Sunday's game against the Bills. He has been in concussion protocol since Monday morning, battling symptoms suffered in Sunday's loss to the Jaguars. That bodes well for Rivers' chances of facing the Bills, but he still must be cleared by an independent neurologist. Carolina Panthers rookie wideout Curtis Samuel out for the season. He suffered ligament damage in his left ankle during their win Monday night against Miami. And the Buffalo Sabres gave up a third period lead last night, lost in overtime to the Pittsburgh Penguins, 5-4 in Pittsburgh. Benoit Pouliot gave the Sabres a 4-3 lead late in the second, but Phil Kessel tied it up in the third, and the winner was scored 16 seconds into overtime. Back-to-back games coming up this weekend for the Sabres. They'll start in Detroit on Friday, their first ever game at the new arena there. Then they come back home on Saturday against Carolina, the Sabres dropping one last night at Pittsburgh. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy Show, a special four-hour edition, an extended version, and to help us out, to give us a break, we brought in the reliever from the bullpen.
This isn't even the longest show we've done either. We've done 5 hours, right?
You are keeping track.
We've done a full 5 hours.
Donald, the time clock on the wall, you were all about it.
You got to let people know.
Yeah, I was surprised. I wasn't surprised, but my phone, you know, I was doing stuff around the house. My phone started popping off and going on like everybody's did. And I started getting texts from, you know, from the guys. And, oh, my gosh.
I know.
And then you thought about us. And you thought about us.
Even the traffic, coming through Orchard Park was busier. I mean,
new quarterback.
It's like somebody stirring the pot in there with a big spoon, man. Yeah.
Steve Tasker's back with us the second consecutive day with us. I was kidding you, but I'm only half kidding. We could replay an excerpt from yesterday's show when all three of us, 1, 2, 3, said, well, they're not going to make a quarterback change now. All three of us said that. I believed it only because that's what the head coach said Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, it gives you an idea of how deliberate they are. We've seen it time and time again with the decisions they make, and it makes sense now that you put this decision and when they announced it in perspective with, you know, when they gave Tyrod his contract and, you know, when they redid his contract, when they made the trades, when they – at the end of the training camp when they made those moves for the starters right before the beginning of the regular season with E.J. Gaines and Sammy and Jordan Matthews and Darby and those guys. I mean, they made all these changes only at the last, you know, when they really got to a point where it had to be done or not done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you know the routine of an NFL season and how it goes week to week, this would be the day when if something was going to be different, today is the day you would notice. And today is the day when you actually have to start taking actions. You don't just say it on Sunday and then get here and because today would be the day when it actually starts happening. And so they waited to the last minute or waited to announce it until, you know, they had all their ducks in a row and had alerted the players and all that. And believe me, studio's in the stadium, but nobody in this part of the building knew this was going to come down like this.
The you know, we've said it for months here. We know who Tyrod is now, two and a half
absolutely.
Seasons in, and he's a little bit better completion percentage, but he doesn't throw interceptions. He makes plays on the run. Not enough. And that's I said to Donald first hour. That's the thing that most impressed me about Sean McDermott's explanation today, his rationale today, when he said, "Yeah, we're 5-4, and that's not our goal to be 5-4. We want to be better than that." And I think, you know, you can look for hidden agendas, but I do think that's what motivates this, don't you?
I agree.
A drive to get better now and into the future.
I think what, you know, that motivates it, and I think it's truly offensive fit. You know, I think just to be honest, Nathan Peterman is a better fit for the style of offense, timing routes that they want to run. Steve might disagree on that
I think
Nate, because he gets the ball out of his hands quickly, he's a rookie, so he's going to have good and bad throws, but he gets the ball out fast. He's reading the defense, getting the ball to the receivers who are open. The defense rolls that way, somebody over here is going to be open. I'm getting the ball that way. If it rolls the other way, somebody over here, that's how it works. You know, if you throw Tyrod in Pittsburgh's offense or something like that, maybe he can truly, truly flourish because that's how Ben Roethlisberger plays. That's what they're used to. But in this offense, they need a quarterback to get it out fast. And their offensive line isn't holding up long enough to be able to sit back there and try to run around and make plays like
that. I hear what you're saying, Donald, but why wouldn't they go into the season like that if that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't fit this offense.
Oh, okay. I was waiting.
I know you're waiting on me. I'm trying to think of one. Like, I don't have one for you.
if that's – you're right. And that's the real question. Why didn't they build an offense where he could be successful? Mm-hmm. They're asking him to do things he can't do. We've seen that throughout this long stretch of no playoffs where coaching staffs were asking players to do stuff they couldn't do. Now, there are certain things – and here's the problem. The NFL is structured, ruled, officiated, whatever you want to call it. It's structured, the rules are in place, and they're officiated in such a way as you got to have a guy that stands there and makes throws. Ultimately, that's how you win in the National Football League, and that's basically the only consistent way to win in the National Football League. So sooner or later, you're going to have to teach your guy to do that, or you're going to lose because your guy can't do that.
Right.
And we've seen in the last couple of weeks, that's basically the reason the Bills have not been able to do it, because Tyrod could not make enough plays standing in the pocket.
They couldn't stop anybody.
Now, that's true. I'm talking offensively. There's no question there was a team breakdown in this last week, no question. And even against the Jets as well defensively. This is a defense that hasn't played well. But on the offensive side.
But if you're going three and out, three and out, three and out, that plays into your defense not being able to stop people, especially in the defense. Like, how often do you see, even as bad as they played, a team just run the ball down your throat? Six rushing touchdowns, averaging 12 yards a carry. And they were worn out, you know. When the offense is not moving the ball and the defense has to continuously come back on the field, it's tough to do.
Defense played horrible.
They played bad. They definitely played bad. But you need for your offense to be able to drive the ball down the field and score points.
You're right, Murph. The defense didn't play well, and they signed Adolphus Washington back. I mean, they got him some help. They made a change on that side of the football, and I wouldn't be surprised if they've had some guys in the meeting rooms they got to talking to as well. I mean, it's not such a headline grabber when they make a change at left defensive tackle.
Right.
You know, maybe if Kyle got sat down, it would be a head scratcher, but that didn't happen. I mean, so. I wouldn't be surprised if there are also some shakeups going on that side of the ball we haven't heard about yet. But by the same token, I'm thinking about what we're going to see. And obviously for all of us here, I mean, this game just became way more interesting.
Sure.
I mean, I can't wait for this game.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of a good spot to put him in, on the road in a small, crappy stadium in Los Angeles who has no fans. It'll probably be like a neutral game. At least. And it's a good place against a team that's struggling a little bit. Not too much. I mean, they've lost a lot of close games. They're a good football team. But still, it's a chance for him to get in, get his feet wet, and maybe pull out a victory.
He better get the ball out of his hands. I know we got to get to Brownie. He better get the ball out of his hands because they have 29 sacks. This is some defensive line that I can play.
Yeah.
Chris Brown is standing by. He is outside the AdPro Sports Training Center where practice is just underway. Bills insider from BuffaloBills.com, Chris Brown. Chris, anything new out there today?
You got some guys throwing the football in a different order. other than that, no, not really.
Well, your take on the quarterback switch, Chris, what do you think?
I get it. I understand why. I mean, I think it's just really a decision rooted in functionality. The offense has deteriorated to a point where it wasn't even functional last week, and I think it proved to be a breaking point. Basically, what you have is an offense that – cannot hold an opposing defense honest in terms of what's coming at them. With a passing game that didn't exceed 185 yards in five of Tyrod's nine starts, it allows an opposing defense to completely key on your rushing attack. And, you know, people say, well, why is the rushing attack struggling this year? It's due in part to the fact that the passing attack is so anemic that nobody has to respect it. Now it makes your offense one-dimensional the second your offense steps on the field. And I think we're seeing the results of that. You know, teams have caught up to what the Bills can and cannot do on a regular basis. And when that happens, there's a trickle-down effect, not only for your offense and your rushing game, which has been the identity of this attack for the better part of the last 2 years, but for your defense, which had to be on the field for the better part of 42 minutes last week. And I'm not leaving the defense blameless. They were awful last week, but they got worn down because their offense couldn't stay on the field and kept sending them back out there.
Hey, Chris, how about when Nathan played in the latter parts of that game? Do you think that had anything to do with this decision and how he played in that game?
Coach said today it played a small part, but I don't think there's any dismissing the fact that you've got a major new target in your offense like Kelvin Benjamin, who gets targeted three times on the opening drive, two times you throw errantly to a 6'5" receiver who can catch a ball when nobody else can catch it. You can't hit him in stride. You can't put it on the money on a giant target. And then Peterman comes in and proceeds to get two passes to him delivered in a span of 10 pass attempts. I just think from a functionality standpoint, it was eye-opening, and it's different. Knowing that, at the end of the game, the Saints are probably trading yardage for time on the clock and maybe not playing as intensely as they might be in the second quarter. But I think it's a situation, too, where that Saints defense wasn't in a prevent. I mean, they were still dropping seven, rushing four. You know, they were still playing to make plays, just maybe not as intensely as they had been earlier in the game.
Chris, Steve Tasker, thanks. Give us an idea of what – are there any other changes, like on the other side of the ball? We mentioned how the defense, you know, was struggled. They were, you know, they were on the field entirely too much with 41 minutes of possession time for the Saints this last week. You know, talk a little bit about – have they talked about any changes defensively, like personnel or schematically or anything at all? I know they made a – they signed a defensive lineman, which will help with the run defense. But has there any other changes of note that may be a reaction to holding other players accountable other than just Tyrod Taylor?
Well, I mean, I think DeAndre Coleman is the player you just referred to.
That's right.
He's a player who's here in camp, spent a week on a practice squad. I think he will be a guy that sees more time on rundowns. You know, obvious rundowns, first, second down, early downs in the series. He's a 340-pound man who's just quite simply more difficult to move. And that was the problem last week. Guys are getting moved out of gaps pretty easily. And I think that's a guy that's going to see more time on the field just to shore up the run defense as quickly as possible. I think Matt Milano is another player who could see a lot more time, especially on obvious passing situations. It wouldn't shock me at all if you see him and Ramon Humber as the primary pass coverage linebackers in a nickel scheme. And then, you know, on the back end, it looks like E.J. Gaines is going to be able to get back in the lineup this week. He's now a full participant after being limited all last week. So it looks as though both of your top two corners are going to be available for Sunday's game.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, on the practice field outside the AdPro Sports Training Center, joining us on the show today for as long as he can. Hey, Chris, back to the quarterbacks for a second. How, you know, Sean McDermott reserves the right, he said, to go back to Tyrod Taylor, didn't rule that out, but how realistic is that? Donald and I talked about it an hour ago. I guess the question is, how long-term a quarterback switch is this? The final seven games of the year, what do you make of this?
I think it's going to be largely predicated on how well Peterman plays. I mean, if he lays a complete egg and looks awful, there may be maybe a quick hook. You know, McDermott was asked about that specifically. You know, are you going to have Peterman on a tight leash knowing you're a team that's still viably in playoff contention? And he said, I'm not going to have Peterman worrying about a leash. I'm just going to have him worry about being 1/11th of the offense. That's somewhat of a token answer, but I think there is some truth in that. I don't think he's going to yank him in the course of the game this week. I think he's going to give him the whole game and then make assessments from there. If he feels that he struggles early but made some progress as the game wears on, I think he plays another week. If he struggles mightily from the get-go, the game looks too big for him, and he's not ready, well, then I think a change could happen again. But I don't think anyone is anticipating that that's going to happen. The way Coach put it today, he believes that Nate Peterman is ready. He certainly looked the part in the brief time he got at the end of last week's game. We'll have to see if that, in fact, continues. Hopefully it will, you know, for the sake of the offense and the sake of this team, because they're in desperate need of posting a victory on Sunday.
Has anybody, Chris, spoken to Peterman? Has he spoken publicly yet? I mean, what's he saying? Anybody talk to him pre-practice? What's or notice a difference in his demeanor or anything like that? I know he's taking reps with the ones and throwing the football in a different order in drills and warm-up. But, I mean, what do you think, being around there for a while, I know he's a mature kid, and what do you think he's going to think about all this?
Well, I mean, he's scheduled to talk after practice, so we'll get his comments at that time. And, you know, just being around him, having talked to him, I actually talked to him a couple of times at the Senior Bowl back in January when he was down there. And by most accounts had the best week of any of the quarterbacks. I just think that he doesn't ever make the situation bigger than it is. And that's why I think he's able to stay as calm and collected as he can be. He's a very even-keeled quarterback that doesn't get too hyped up and doesn't get too down. Now, and a lot of people have said that about Tyrod too, but I just think for a young guy, he's very grounded in what his responsibilities are. But he doesn't make it any bigger than it needs to be. He's not going to go into Sunday's game feeling like he's got to carry the offense. He's just going to go out there and execute plays. And, you know, from the time in the preseason, I made a point to talk to a lot of players on the roster that were on the field with him during preseason games. And the thing that all of them, to a man, came away with was how comfortable and calm he was in running the huddle. I said, well, give me some words to describe him. One guy used the word command. Another guy used the word calm. Another guy used the word confident. These are all the things you want from a quarterback. To get those from a rookie in his first couple of preseason games, I felt was a very encouraging sign. We'll see if that repeats itself here on Sunday when he's leading the offense out there against the Chargers.
Chris Brown is with us from the live from the Bills practice field where Nathan Peterman's getting the first team reps now. Hey, Chris, people have made this argument. Is there an argument to be made? I think there is, that the Bills could have tried harder to tailor their offense around Tyrod Taylor. What do you think?
I think they were trying to do that from the very get-go. Otherwise, why are you going into the season with them? No, I think there was a concerted effort to fit the offense to some of Taylor's strengths. Tyrod even said today when he spoke to the media that he felt there were efforts to do that. You know, whether it was read option, whether it was some design runs for him, albeit few and far between. I think he felt that he was supported with his strengths in the scope of this offense. But I think by the same token, there was a rhythm and timing element to this offense, and that was on Tyrod to master. So while the coaching staff did their part to try to fit his strengths into their scheme, I think by the same token, it was on Tyrod to have that internal clock and effectively execute the timing element of this offense. And I don't know that he ever got there completely. I think we saw times when he was getting the ball out of his hands in rhythm, but I think that's the biggest thing that's been missing from this offense, rhythm. And Tyrod, unfortunately, was not able to do it consistently enough to the point where the coach decided that a change had to be made. And if there is one thing that Nate Peterman has in spades as a quarterback, it's getting the ball out in rhythm. And that, again, goes back to what I believe fundamentally on the part of Coach McDermott was a decision rooted in functionality of this offense. Nate Peterman's greatest attribute is getting the ball out on time. He reads things quickly. He gets through his progressions. The ball comes out. That's going to make this offensive line, which has struggled mightily the last 2 weeks, better just because the ball's not in his hands anymore. And, oh, by the way, they're going against the second-best pass-rushing team in the league right now with 28 sacks, most of them between Joey Bosa and Ingram. That makes the offensive line better from a pass protection perspective. It gives opportunities for the receivers to make more plays because the ball is getting out instead of taking sacks. So I think all of these things were listed on a pro and con list for Coach McDermott, who is methodical in every single decision he makes. As knee-jerk as this may appear, make no mistake, in the 48 hours that he changed his mind, I'd be willing to bet he spent 44 of them on this decision.
Hey, Chris, what about now, you know, people have been calling for Nate Peterman for a little while now. Have you had a chance over the past couple of weeks to talk to other players on the team about his maturity process right now?
No.
Okay.
And I wouldn't, because until the change is made, nobody's going to really appreciate that kind of a question. So you really kind of got to wait till the decision's made. Then you can go to that. Then you can travel down that avenue as you see fit as a reporter. So, you know, I think Coach kind of said it all today when he said he's been impressed with his maturity. He feels he's wise beyond his years. He's approached every single day here, you know, like a professional. And to Tyrod's credit, so is he. And even handled this news, which I think would tick anybody that's a competitor off, like a professional as well. And I think he handled his press conference like a professional. I mean, you can't tell me with what Tyrod's been through in his two-plus years here that he hasn't handled everything in the best way possible. And I think you have to at least give him credit for that much. But as far as Peterman's concerned, in terms of the functionality of the offense, he just fits more of what they need right now to get this offense back on track. Whether he can do that, though, when the live bullets are flying, is what the ultimate test is here on coming up on Sunday.
Hey, Chris, one more thing, and I want to get these guys here involved in this as well. I know your time out there is winding down. You know, the news is just under 3 hours old, and it's, you know, being debated and discussed both here in Buffalo and throughout the NFL. You have to acknowledge it is rare for a team in the playoff hunt, squarely in the playoff hunt, sitting in a playoff spot with seven games to go, to make a major move like this at quarterback. Rare, shocking, I think. Do you agree?
I would agree that it's rare. Most head coaches in this league are conservative by nature. You know, they don't take a risk like this. They take the safe route, which is to go with a veteran. Struggles and everything else included. That's not Coach McDermott. He's got a clear vision. He's got a clear mantra, which is playoff caliber. The offense hasn't performed as such. He's willing to take that risk. He knows the risks involved, and he knows the rewards involved. He believes this offense will function better with a quarterback whose greatest strength is timing. We'll see if it proves to be correct. You got to give him credit for not being afraid to take a risk. He's done that here, and we'll see if it pays off.
All right, Chris, thanks. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, out on the practice field, looking quite natty too.
He definitely did.
I like the hat.
I love the hat. You know, the one thing I do have to, I think, disagree, and I know what Coach McDermott said, but I got to go back to it. I think they need to stick with Nathan Peterman at this point, you know, because he's a rookie, because he's going to go through his ups and downs, unless he truly, completely just lays an egg out there, which I don't expect him to do. You got to stick with him. He's going to have bad moments. He's going to have good moments. It's up to everybody else or on the team to step up around him, you know, and it's going to be something different if Coach McDermott starts to go back and forth. That's not something that, you know, that's kind of like knee-jerk reaction stuff, yeah. You know, and so I'd expect for them to stick with Nathan Peterman moving forward unless he just is absolutely awful.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but there's going to be times now where we've all watched Tyrod play for going on 3 years now. We've at times you said, "Man, that's the guy." I'm so glad he's our quarterback. And then other times it's so frustrating to watch him, you know, take a sack or do other things and play the way we've come to see him play.
Right.
That, you know, that swing from great to not so great to inconsistent to frustrating. It's probably going to be the same way with Nate Peterman.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go out there. He's going to have some moments where you're going to say, wow, that's what we're looking for. And then there's going to be other times thinking, what is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be other times where it's saying, I maybe need a little work. So you're going to have to evaluate all of that together. And I think he's going to play well at times. That's why he's an NFL player right now. I do think they're going to do some things defensively at San Diego. They're going to give him some problems.
Right.
He may turn it over a few times out there. But he'll probably make some throws and make some plays that will say, well, you know what? Tyrod probably wouldn't have made, you know, we haven't seen Tyrod make that play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's going to be what it is. I mean, you can imagine that it's going to be as great on one hand, frustrating at times, and then see some places for growth. I think the difference between him and Tyrod now is, I mean, Tyrod is what he is. He's growing. He may get a little better here and there, but he is going to be the kind of quarterback we've seen him be. And right now, as Sean McDermott said, they need something else.
And how much can you – you know, they've done a lot of things to try to tailor this offense, I think. I think they've done a lot of things in terms of, you know, using his legs, in terms of you see him in shotgun handing it off to LeSean McCoy at times. You see him roll out different times. They might not have done it consistently, you know. But
– you know what I think they didn't do with Tyrod? And now we're like it's his you know, his obituary here. But looking back, I wish this year this coaching staff would have used his deep arm ability more. We didn't see a lot of shots downfield.
We didn't.
I think that's maybe the best argument for saying they didn't play to his strengths.
I think I have to agree with you there. And we're talking about nine routes, right? We're talking about nines,
which
post.
Which he was great after a year and a half, 2 years.
And, you know, the interesting thing about Tyrod is – You never really know this stuff, but you never know with Tyrod if it's he doesn't trust somebody to catch the ball down the field and throw it down there, or if they're not calling the plays and not asking him, take a shot down the field. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because last year when we had Coach David Lee and he talked about, you know, when we get into the red zone, we're trying to put it in his mind to take those chances, you know, and it's just not clicking in his mind. So we don't know if Tyrod is not taking the shots down the field himself because he doesn't have Sammy, or if they just weren't designing those plays for him to throw the ball down the field.
It could be a combination of all that. It could be, you know, Tyrod not wanting to throw it on a certain play, the guy not getting open on separation, having a guy over the top on a certain play. It could be could be the receiver running wrong. It could be any number of things, but consistently, you know, I'm with you, Murph. I thought that was something in his repertoire that club should exploit more. And over the last 2.5 years, we haven't seen it.
All right, we're going to take a break. I want to get into this, the risk factor, and Brownie touched on it, but I want to talk to you guys about this, the risk that Sean McDermott takes replacing a quarterback on a 5-4 team sitting in the sixth spot in the playoff race. We'll do that when we return. We are going to get your phone calls on the air as well, I promise. It is the John Murphy Show coming to you. We haven't done one yet.
I promise.
That's funny. We're coming back from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones here as we are every day. And Steve Tasker's here for the second consecutive day because of the news here at One Bills Drive. The Bills have benched Tyrod Taylor. Nathan Peterman will start on Sunday against the Los Angeles Chargers. Tyrod met with the media and said he was shocked. He is disappointed, doesn't like it, but he says he will support Nathan Peterman. I wish him the best. We expect to hear from Nathan Peterman after practice today. The Bills out on the practice field as we speak. We got into this a little bit with Brownie. There was one thing McDermott said today. Sean McDermott said today at his 9:30 a.m. news conference. He was asked a question about the reaction from other guys on the team about it, but he got into more of a point of like his overall vision. I want to just let you guys listen to this and see what you think about this. Sean McDermott, he was asked about the reaction from other team leaders, eventually got into his overall vision for this team, and here's what he had to say.
Well, we discussed it as a team this morning, and you know, their response is, and they've been through this before, is they march on. They've been through a lot of things already, and as we continue to grow and continue to move in the direction that I want us to move, there's going to be difficult decisions and adversity, as you've heard me say before. That's all about becoming better. Like you heard me say a few minutes ago, we're here for more than 5 wins. That's why I'm here, and that's why I was brought here. So that's the vision, and it's nothing more than that. It's about getting us to where we're trying to go, to win a championship. You know, everyone wants to get to the playoffs. I understand that, and that's important. At the end of the day, it's about trying to become that football team that the fans of Western New York and the Buffalo Bills fans of the world have dreamed of for years.
We're here for more than 5 wins. You might as well get the T-shirts printed up right now. We're here for more than 5. But, you know, he's empowered by being in his first year, right? His job security is certainly not going to be in question.
Listen.
But I like the bold approach to looking at the future and still trying to win this year. And it's difficult to do that. And that's what makes a move like this a little bit risky. You don't quite know what you're going to get out of Nathan Peterman. He doesn't know.
You're risky. Yeah, but I think there's a right. And I've been reading Twitter in the break, and you know, I got a lot of people, our colleagues here at WGR, were talking about it, and you know, saying just that Sean McDermott's risk. You know, it's a lot at stake here.
Yeah,
actually, you know, there's a lot of stake for this season. I don't think Sean McDermott's throwing his career on the line here, making a quarterback change when your team is in the state that it's in now. You are in the sixth playoff position, no question about it. But this is a decision that as much as we have not defended this, it's incredibly easy to defend. That's why it was the first question he was asked after the game. They need something from that position. They needed it in this last game, along with some other things, no question. They needed it in the game before. They have needed it in some of the victories they've had this year. They need something different from the quarterback position than they've been getting. Certainly, they've gotten some good things from Tyrod, absolutely. The guy's played great. He's a great leader. The team loves him. He's a great athlete. He's got a big arm. And he's a playmaker, and the guys rallied around him, and he doesn't turn it over. They need something different than that going forward to win more games and on a more consistent level basis. And I think that while it is a big move, I mean, you look at the moves they've made so far this season, I don't think anybody's jumping on the table saying, hey, we should have kept Reggie Ragland, we should have kept Sammy. We could, the E.J. Gaines, the Ron Darby, all that stuff. All that stuff has worked out pretty well. This is a team that is much more than everybody thought they were going to, than the team that they thought were going to tank when they traded Sammy. The team that they thought was jockeying for a draft pick. Not so. And I think having
the short but pretty successful track record for decisions they've made of this type, I think he's – I don't think it's that big a risk looking at it from that perspective.
I think, you know, even in the games that they've won, Tyrod has been inconsistent. You know, he's played – he's made some strides, some moves to get better, but he's still been inconsistent. And we watched the film, and so you can go back on certain plays and say, wow, like that one, he could have made a better throw. Or I remember breaking down some film and on here, on Nuts and Bolts, and saying, you know, he actually could have threw that ball right there. He scrambled and made an extra, you know, he bought some time, but he didn't have to,
right.
You know. But he still made the play, and you can just leave it there.
And he still was a quarterback for 5-4.
He still was a quarterback
for 5-4. He was a quarterback at 5-2.
He was a quarterback at 5-2.
Think about that. I mean, right. he was a quarterback that went on the road in Atlanta.
Right.
And quarterback that beat Denver. Quarterback that beat Denver, Atlanta,
Oakland
Tampa and Tampa Bay. I mean, that's four wins that when you looked at the season, you looked at the record or the schedule for it, I didn't know if they were going to win any of those. Right. He won all four of them.
Now, my argument would be if you didn't have the turnovers that they had, would the team have won those games? Now, look, we can all if was a fifth,
right?
You know.
But
yeah, that's fair enough.
What I want to, what I'm wondering, Donald, your view, how much of a risk is it? Because again, you could muddle through with Tyrod Taylor and probably win a little bit more than you've lost, just as he has throughout his career. He's 20 right. and 18 as a starter,
but then you got
to
go
pull
back
the plug
to,
on that.
You also have to go back to what Coach McDermott, and we all know he's well thought out, methodical in everything that he does. He's thinking about now, but he's also thinking about the future. So you got to think about it. Okay, is he thinking about, I want to win right now. We're not getting what we need out of this quarterback. We need to figure out what Nathan Peterman can do and what we can do in the draft moving forward. We can do all of this at the same time right now. If the team and Tyrod, as the quarterback, continues to play like it did this past week and the week before, you're not going to be in the playoffs anyway. So we might as well go ahead and see if this kid can spark something for us so that we can continue, we can get back on the right track, and we can figure out what we have moving forward. Just imagine if he goes out there and for the next 6 weeks lights it up. Now, we're talking about the risk, but what about the reward? If he goes out there and lights it up and they feel like this is our guy moving forward, well, maybe now you got two first-round picks. We don't have to necessarily swing for the fences on one of these quarterbacks in the first round. We could go – there's going to be a lot of holes on this team that need to be filled in the draft. You know, we got a lot of draft picks. If this kid lights it up, we don't have to use that on a quarterback in the first round.
Well,
it's the risk versus the reward.
He doesn't even have to light it up. I mean, he's just playing consistent football and get him to a point where, listen, if Tyrod, let's say Tyrod continues in this season as a starter and he is exactly what he has been, an 8-8 quarterback or a 9-7 quarterback.
Right.
And what if you go with Nate Peterman? And you're 8-8 or 7-9, but you think, you know what, this could be our guy going forward.
Right.
So what do you gain? What do you lose? Do you gain those first two draft picks that you're going to trade away to get up in the top five? You might do that. You might gain that for a year.
Right.
So there's a lot in play here, no question about it. But by the same token, I'm with you. I think the fact that you get to evaluate Peterman is only gravy on top of what you're really trying to do. You're trying to win now.
You guys have led me to this, and I'll throw this out there. I don't know if I believe this or not, but some will argue that this was the plan all along.
I don't know if I believe what I'm saying.
No, I'm just trying. Yeah. We got 4 hours to fill.
That's why I love you, man.
Look, I know where we got to get. I know how this ends, the show anyway. Some will argue this was the plan all along. Get the half season, win as much as you can. Eventually we'll be comfortable enough to plug Nathan Peterman, our guy, our draft pick, will be comfortable enough to plug him in there.
Someone's going to say that. Oh, I get that. And that's politics and the media talking. But we want our guys in. Their guys.
Right.
No, that is absolutely false. This is Sean McNew. No matter who drafted these guys, no matter who signed them to the contract, these are Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean's guys. It's their team. No matter who drafted these guys, they chose them. They're on the team because Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott want them. They have no issue. They wanted Tyrod to come in and light it up. They wanted to have to make a decision about whether to give him a 5-year, $100 million contract. They wanted that decision. They didn't want to get to this point
and have to put in your fifth-round rookie.
And put in a fifth-round rookie, even as good as he looked. They wanted Tyrod to be successful. So don't get caught up in that they've got something they want to look good no matter how the team does, because that's not the case.
We got to get to a break here. But what changed then? Because Tyrod is who Tyrod was, a little bit better than average. You know, don't turn the ball over. Hesitate to throw it downfield. Don't fit it into tight coverages. So what changed in their mind?
Nathan Peterman, probably. He's been practicing for 6 months now. They know him, and he's getting better. And it's like we spoke about yesterday. And the moment Peterman gets to a point where he's a better option, they flip it like a light switch. It happens immediately. Yeah. We got to the point where Tyrod, they have gotten to a point with Tyrod where they can't proceed and move forward as a team. Teams are just too easy to stop our offense, and now it's getting to where it's spilling over on the production on the defensive side. You know, I just think
it does go hand in hand, though.
You don't think they'd have made this quarterback change if
the defense was still playing like they were in the beginning of the
season? What if Cardale Jones was the back? You don't think they would have made this change just because it was Peterman?
Peterman.
I don't understand. What's the
question? What if Peterman wasn't on the roster and it was Cardale Jones, who's now in San Diego, and they'll see him this weekend? You don't think they'd have made that change?
I don't. Do
you? You don't?
No.
If he had come along like they feel like Peterman has, they would have made the change. No. Look, they're not.
That's a good question right there.
My question better.
Yeah, but you don't know if you believe it, though.
I don't know if I believe this question.
I'm trying to facilitate conversation here. I'm throwing it out there.
I'm with you, though. I don't think this is some big plan where they were going to squeeze him in there. I think they got to a point at this season where they think the season's on the edge, and they need a spark on the offensive side, and they think Nathan Peterman, even though his mistakes and his shortcomings may be very different from Tyrod Taylor, I think he gives them a better chance by getting more out of the guys on the outside of the offense, getting more out of the tight ends position by getting it out of his hands better. That'll give them a chance to make other guys on the offense better. Right now, it's all about Tyrod and all about LeSean.
Okay.
Now you can bring other guys into the equation because Peterman's going to get the ball out of his hands. At least that's the thought, and I think I can see that very easily being the rationale behind it. I think it's a better way to win.
It was that game. You have too many teams that said, look, we're forcing your quarterback to be a quarterback. Sit in the pocket and throw it. And he hasn't been able to do that consistently enough to win enough games. And this game against the Saints was like the nail in the coffin right there, and it was like, all right, we can't even function as an offense because the quarterback is not giving us enough to be able to just pick up a first down, you know. So with that being said, I think they were like 2 of 11 on third. They were just three and out. You can't do that. It does wear down on your defense. You got to be able to move the ball. You need to be able to get it to your receivers outside. It helps out your star running back that you have while he still has something left in the tank.
We're going to break. I promise we'll get phone calls coming up. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back with Donald Jones. Steve Tasker's with us for a few more minutes. All right, I promise. Let's get some calls on the line. Tom in West Seneca. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
Yeah, John, Don, thank you so much for having me on. I respect Coach McDermott, and I think he has greatness in him to be a great coach. And but the decision here to change quarterbacks at midseason, I think, is the biggest mistake the Bills are going to make this year. Again, I'm a big fan of Sean McDermott. But that being said, we remember several years ago, when a guy by the name of Tom Brady came in and filled in for injured Drew Bledsoe, and he took the Patriots to the Super Bowl. That could happen. But and believe me, I hope I eat my words, but I think this is the biggest mistake Bills are making.
I hear
all
what you're
year.
Saying.
Why, Tom?
Made argument. Major,
why, Tom?
You messed up your whole argument.
No, why do you think it's a mistake, Tom? Tom?
Pardon?
Why do you think it's a mistake?
Because it's mid-season. If you're in for a penny, in for a pound with the quarterback you started with, finish with him. And if it turns out good, that'll be great for the Bills. But that being said, he deserves a chance to finish out the season, my opinion. But
okay.
I can understand where Sean McDermott is coming from, but like I said, I think it's a mistake.
Okay. That's well thought out, I guess. you know, you kind of, you're right. I mean, it has, there have been many times when it has not worked out. And there's been a lot of coaches. I think our old friend Wade Phillips said, listen, usually when you have a quarterback controversy, it's because neither guy can play.
Right.
And hopefully this won't be one of those scenarios. A lot of times when you change quarterbacks, you don't get anything out of it. I mean, you go down, look at the teams who have had to do that, particularly the ones who bench a guy because he's not playing well. Now, you've seen it like with Drew Bledsoe when he went down with an injury, of course. But usually you're doing it because the guy hasn't been productive enough. And that's, you know, that's you're trying to find a way, particularly now. The Bills, I think, are trying to do it and to salvage something from this season that looks like it could be sliding the other way.
Let's take one more call this hour. Garrett in Jamestown. Go ahead, Garrett. You're on the air with us.
Hi there. Am I on here?
You are, Garrett.
Oh, hi there. Well, I just was really taken aback. Woke up this morning, saw the news. I just don't think it's the right decision. I don't think that you can, as a coach in Sean McDermott, look and say that Rick Dennison has done everything that he could have done to help Tyrod Taylor in this offense. He kind of, I was always of the feeling, was basically telling Tyrod, well, you have to do these things for our offense in order for us to be successful. Yes, every now and then, go improvise, but most of the time, I think he was saying, do these things, and that's how the offense will improve, and not so much giving him a chance to be the player that he can be, the player that we saw even with Rex as the head coach for 2 years, who was, yes, getting a very good run game from LeSean McCoy, but Tyrod was a very good quarterback. I think at least middle of the pack.
Right. Yeah, and Sean pointed out, they're trying to be better. This goes to your point, Donald, though, about best fit for what they're doing.
Right, and how many times do we see these young mobile quarterbacks come in and light things up in the beginning, you know, when they look good, and then all of a sudden when these defensive coordinators figure out what they can and what they can't do after you've been playing for a year or two, they shut you down, you know, and then the team has to move on to somebody else, you know. And I think the teams that the Bills have been facing – have gotten to a point where they know what he can and what he can't do, and they're playing him that way, you know. Yeah. And because of that, it has truly handcuffed this offense to the point where we got to make a change to somebody else so that we can see if we can get this thing going again. You can try to tailor the offense and do what he's strong at, but if the defense is playing into what he – if they're doing what they want to shut down what he's strong at, then there's nothing that this offense can do.
Yeah, I equate it to a little bit. It's a little bit like youth football. You put your best athlete at quarterback, and he makes the plays. You know, he can, if somebody comes wide open, he can hit him. But really, it comes down to his ability to outrun and outjump and outplay everybody on the field. It doesn't work real well in the NFL.
Right.
Cam Newton did it for a year and still tries to do it, but he's actually made a great effort to be more of a pocket passer. He, because I'll tell you why, he got tired of getting hit in the face.
Right.
You just don't win consistently or for a long period of time with a guy who's an athlete at quarterback for in the NFL. Mike Vick did it for a while. He had like a 1-2 year run, and then it was kind of sliding back before it, you know, everything fell apart for him off the field. Quarterbacks like that last for as long as they can stand the punishment, and they're going to get a lot of punishment, even more so than a running back, because everybody takes their shot. That's youth football. You get your biggest, strongest, or fastest, best athlete, and give him the ball at quarterback spot and see if he can outplay everybody else on the team. The NFL, you can't do that. It doesn't last. It's not sustainable, and the league is not structured for that.
Right.
So that's kind of the way I get a feel for the way Tyrod plays. He can make plays. But when teams are disciplined and they force him to do things he's not good at, hasn't cultivated in his play at a younger age, and now it's, you know, kind of, you know, 8 years into his – or 7 years into his pro career, he ain't going to develop. He just didn't ever get that as a youth player or a college player, and that's where he's at now. The NFL is not youth football. You can't have your quarterback be the best athlete on the field and expect he's just going to win it for you.
Right.
It just doesn't work. It's not sustainable.
Steve, I can't imagine what upheaval might occur tomorrow, but if there is a major upheaval, can we count on you coming in again tomorrow to help us out?
Yeah, if they bench you, Murph, I'll be in. Yeah.
Things. Major things have happened around here. Thank you, Steve. Thanks for doing this with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. I enjoyed it. It was I wasn't surprised I got the call, but I'm glad I did. It was fun to come in.
Steve Tasker, the Bills Wall of Famer, coming up next. Thurman Thomas will join us for his regular Wednesday appearance. We'll have plenty to talk with Thurman about, and I promise we'll get more phone calls on, get your reaction to the Bills' decision. Nathan Peterman starts Sunday against the Chargers. What do you think of that? Back to talk more of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Bills made a big splashy move today. They have bench quarterback Tyrod Taylor and have decided to go with Nathan Peterman against the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday. Head coach Sean McDermott made the announcement at 9:30 this morning. He said, "I've been impressed with Nate and his maturity at a very early point in his career." Tyrod had been the Bills starter for 2.5 seasons. The midseason change comes as a shock for a team that was in the playoff hunt, in fact, holding the sixth seed in the AFC as of today. Just 3 weeks ago, the Bills were considered to be in contention for the division title. But they dropped a couple in a row, and the Bills decided to make the move today with Nathan Peterman scheduled to start against the Chargers on Sunday. We expect to hear from Peterman as the afternoon rolls along. About 25 minutes left in the Bills practice today. Peterman will, we believe, step to the podium. We'll pick that up for you live and maybe even have him on the show with us. For his part, Tyrod Taylor said he was shocked by the decision, said he does not agree with it, doesn't like it. But he also said, "I have to support Nathan Peterman. He's talented, and I wish him the best." Tyrod remains as the team captain and says he still has to help lead this team as a captain. On the practice field today, some notable missing players, including left tackle Cordy Glenn with his foot and ankle issues, defensive end Jerry Hughes with his shin, running back Mike Tolbert, tight end Charles Clay with his knee. Rest days today for Kyle Williams, LeSean McCoy, Lorenzo Alexander. Jordan Matthews limited in practice, but rookie wide receiver Zay Jones getting full practice today as the Bills get set for the Chargers on Sunday. Speaking of the Chargers, now they're saying they think they will get Phillip Rivers back for Sunday's game. The team encouraged by his progress through the concussion protocol after he battled symptoms in the wake of their loss to the Jaguars on Sunday. That bodes well for Rivers' chances of facing the Bills on Sunday. He still must be cleared by an independent neurologist. Rivers has a long streak of starts since he came into the league. He has not missed a start, and that streak looks like it may continue now. And the Buffalo Sabres gave up a third-period lead, lost last night 5-4 in overtime to the Penguins in Pittsburgh. Next up for Buffalo, a game in Detroit on Friday. It is hour three. Of a four-hour. Donald's keeping track. It's a four-hour show. Donald Jones and I here until 3 o'clock today.
Man.
It's good for you. A little hard work's good for you, I think.
A little hard work, huh? 4 hours.
Four-hour show. Thurman Thomas joins us, the Bills' Pro Football Hall of Fame running back. He's on the Wall of Fame, and, of course, he's our regular Wednesday visitor, and you walked right into a storm here today. Thurman, it's kind of interesting, huh?
What happened?
You know what happened. I know. I think you're kidding, right? You know what happened.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Your thoughts on the move, the benching of Tyrod.
You know what? First of all, you know, I got to take my hat off to Tyrod. I think over the last couple of years he's been a true professional in how he has handled every situation that has been thrown at him. People didn't want him. They didn't want him to have the contract. He took a pay cut, and now he's getting benched. You know, he's handled it like a total professional, you know, that he is. And, you know, when you get to know a person and their family, you know, you feel for them really bad. Mm-hmm. And I feel for Tyrod now. But you know what? Well, the show must go on. And, you know, I mean, should any of us be surprised? I mean, Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean, they've been making moves ever since they got here.
Right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if later on in the year, if things don't go well at other positions, you're going to see other changes. And so, very surprising move. It's one of those moves where you know what, you're going to have a lot of people saying, "I knew this was the right decision. I knew this was the wrong decision." Mm-hmm. That's going to be balanced here for the next 7 weeks. And but, you know, he's the head coach. He made a decision to do it. And it's all going to be put on him to see how this team goes forward with a new quarterback. So I'm behind Peterman, wishing him well, wish he can go out, and I wish we can win the next seven games with him.
What do you recall any moves like this? Obviously not the quarterback, but any moves like this from when you were playing that were just like, whoa?
No, not from
Flutie Johnson. Flutie gets benched for the playoff game.
Well, I never really was a foodie fan.
I knew that.
This is really funny, it's really good. Everybody that I talked to about Flutie that was around him is like, eh.
Right. I'm not saying you had to feel sorry for him. But it was a big up. You're in the playoffs. You're going to play a playoff game. What, Rob started the final regular season game, and it was a shock back then. Right. It was a shock when they made the move and made the announcement that Rob would play.
So how does that trickle down throughout the locker room when something like that happens?
Well,
now you're back to Flutie's popularity.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're going 95% of what I'm talking about. You know, so wow, you know, it's it was a tough situation back then. I mean, I think some guys were like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, we got to go out and play no matter who's a quarterback or whatever. Right. Obviously, fans liked Flutie because he was 5'6 or 5'5 or whatever and can get away from a lot of people. But they made the decision to stick with Rob Johnson. I think when you talk about that entire situation of Flutie and Johnson, when it came down to the Music City Miracle, everything was fine up until the last play of the game. Everything was fine until the last play of the game.
Right.
And then several weeks later, you had the Flute Man talking about people saying if he would have played, they would have won that game. We should have won that game with Rob Johnson and not Doug Flutie. I mean, for him to come out weeks later and say that, I could have came out and said a little bit more, but I didn't want to at that time.
Right.
And I'm still not going to today because I'm stopping at that.
All right. We're talking about – here's the thing, though. We're talking about popularity within the locker room, right? And how much does that weigh into what everybody else in the locker room is thinking? Because at the end of the day, look, we might be boys, but you are not getting the job done right now. And we're trying to win. We're all trying to accomplish the same goal here, you know? So how does that message get received in the locker room when everybody voted him as a captain?
Well, I think even though you've been voted as a captain, I mean, like I said, you've seen the moves that Sean McDermott has made throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's his team. He's going to do whatever he wants to do, whether the players like it or not.
Right.
But I think he has an understanding of the players, the type of players that he have in that locker room, that when he made the switch, I guarantee there's a lot of players going, why? I guarantee there's a lot of players going, okay, well, let's keep rolling.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta get behind Peterman. Mm-hmm. I think those are the type of players that he has in that locker room. Yeah, it's a shock to your system the first 24 hours.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, he has to go out here and practice. He has to go out here and be thrown into a game Sunday, which is, at this point, the probably most important game on the season, on the schedule right now. So, I mean, hey, look, I hope it's easy for him, but I don't think it's going to be easy for him. Right. But I think, you know, with having a guy like Tyrod behind him and giving him the confidence and already saying he's a great guy, looking forward to him going out and helping him do whatever he wants to do to try to succeed and move forward, hey, if Tyrod says it, you know what? All other 52 guys fall right behind Tyrod.
And can I just say, and you mentioned that about Tyrod, and we saw it. We carried Tyrod's news conference live, and I thought about Flutie, Thurman, because I distinctly recall the day that the Bills announced that Rob and not Flutie would start that playoff game. In the locker room later that day, Doug Flutie was – he wasn't being – I didn't go up and ask him questions. He came up to me and said, you know, this happened to me before. This happened to me in Chicago. I mean, he was aggrieved. He felt bad about it, and he wanted every media guy in that locker room to know about it, how unfair it was to him. And then you got Tyrod standing here, what, 18 years later or whatever, the exact opposite. You know, I will support Nathan Peterman. I will – you know, I'm a captain. I want to be a team leader. I thought it was a really good moment for Tyrod Taylor today, and I did think about Flutie's reaction.
That goes to show you.
Yeah.
That goes to show you. I mean, there was a lot of tension.
Trying to find the right thing to
say. Yeah, I'm trying to find the right thing to say, you know, because I know how people can tape stuff and send it to people and all that type of stuff. But it was it was a decision that was made. It didn't come – I don't think it came from Wade. I don't think it came from any of the coaches. I think it definitely came from Mr. Wilson upstairs. I mean, because at that point, I think they had already paid Rob, right?
Oh, yeah.
5-year, $25 million.
What was the reasoning for doing that?
Well, as I recall, Thurman played on that team, but that team was winning mostly on defense. That was an outstanding defense.
Yeah, I think they had like number one ranked defense. Yes,
and
yeah.
You were struggling, not you, but the offense was struggling to get anything going with Flutie. Yeah. And then
with Rob or Flutie,
yeah.
We were struggling to get, because I think Rob got hurt early in the year, and then right. Flutie came in, right. Won some games, and had a good, a good half season or whatever, but I don't think it was his decision to for him to be poor like he was. So.
Right. So you got almost the same. I mean, think about it. People would argue that the defense is the reason they have 5 wins right now.
Bill's defense?
Yeah, with all the turnovers.
Takeaways?
Okay. Yeah, with all the turnovers. And they'll argue that this offense hasn't gotten going all year, right? So should this move really shock you when the offense really hasn't been able to get going? And think about it. For those weeks that they were creating all of these turnovers, I remember, saying on air, like, they got to score touchdowns off these turnovers. They're not scoring touchdowns.
Right. That was the problem early in the year, right?
Think about the Saints game. The first drive, LeSean McCoy breaks a big run. Then you get down in the red zone. You miss 2 throws, and you end up kicking a field goal. Right? So your offense hasn't been able to get going all year, but you're sitting at 5-4, sitting in the playoffs. That's why they're making a move like this, because they got to get the offense going, because eventually, which it's starting to look like, that's the issue. You're wearing down your defense.
We got Nathan Peterman going to start against the Chargers. John Murphy and Donald Jones with Thurman Thomas in studio with us. Why are you laughing?
It's just a great day.
Let's go to Joe in Buffalo. Joe, you're on the air with us. Go ahead. Hey, Joe, are you there? I'm sorry. Here is Joe in Buffalo. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Thurman, great to see you. A lot of great memories out there during the good old days. Hey, I'm happy Peterman started. Everybody says, he's a rookie. Hey, I'd rather see a rookie make mistakes, throw an interception, maybe fumble, but he could throw the ball downfield. I wasn't a big Tyrod fan. He can't throw the ball downfield. I hear he's a great athlete. In the NFL today, you got to be able to throw the ball, get your receivers. I don't care about that running. I go to the games. Murph, you must see it from the upstairs. How many receivers are open? How many times he throws towards the out of bounds, in the ground, way up in the air? And I'm tired of throwing the short passes behind the line to McCoy. So I'm pumped up.
Okay. Anything on that, Thurman? Donald, what do you think? We know there's a point. We talked with Steve about this, and Donald, it's been 2.5 years, 38 starts. We know Tyrod Taylor. I know. You guys know. Mm-hmm. We know what he does well and what he doesn't do well. So I don't feel a need to re-prosecute that now that the change has been made.
Right. Yeah, there's no reason to go back on that. I mean every caller for the rest of your 3 hours that you're going to be here, you're probably going to hear the same thing over and over again about Tyrod not throwing the ball down the field. Well, what if Nate Peterman don't throw the ball downfield?
Right.
Are you going to make that excuse for him, or are you going to say, oh, he's a rookie, he hasn't really learned or whatever? Well, obviously he's learned enough to where Sean McDermott named him the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. So if he gets in and doesn't move this offense like Tyrod, or like it should be moved, then what are you going to do? Are you going to stick with him, or are you going to go back to Tyrod?
I mean,
Donald says you can't go back to Tyrod.
I say you stay with Peterman. I say you stick with him, because he's a rookie. He has to learn. All right? He's going to go through his ups and downs. We do know he's going to get the ball out of his hands. That we do know. So it's going to be a different dimension to the offense. So I think he's going to miss some throws. He's going to have some throws on point. I think you stick with him, though.
Here's where it could get tricky, though. So they're in the playoffs right now. Mm-hmm. They got these games to play. If you're out of the playoffs, fine, stay with Nathan Peterman. But how many games do you need before you say, shoot, Nathan's not quite ready, let's go back to Tyrod? 1 game, 2 games? I mean, you let the whole season crash and burn?
Well, if anybody can do that and take control, it'll be Tyrod, because he's been in this situation before. Yeah. I mean, he handles everything. So I'm sure he's not going to sit back and not do anything. He's going to go out, continue to be a pro like he has since he's been here and like he has since he's been in the league, help Nate Peterman go through his process, go through his reads or whatever. And if he's struggling to a point where he's struggling, I think you have to make that change and go back to Tyrod, because he's a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. You don't want to leave him out there where he's just struggling every single game, every single series.
Right.
You keep doing that, he could be out the league. Yeah. I mean, you know how sometimes quarterback can just – they just get that tunnel vision. All of a sudden, you're 1 year in the league, and the next year you're in Canada somewhere
right.
or in arena football.
Right. Because you've been put into a situation where mentally you just can't handle it.
Right.
Physically, probably. But mentally, if you're out there and you're constantly making mistakes and just not ever having everything go your way, it could be a downfall.
Here's a question for both of you. What do you expect the game plan to be? Now, my answer to my question is I don't see them putting the whole game on Nathan Peterman's shoulders. Look, we need you to go out there, be efficient, make some passes, throw it around everybody, take a couple of shots down the field.
Get the ball out on time.
Right. But what is a good game from Nathan Peterman that they would feel comfortable? What should the game plan be?
I think the game plan should be focused on the run, quite frankly, you know, and not because Peterman's a rookie, because that's what they're supposed to do. And with the threat of the ball coming out on time, to getting the ball to receivers in stride, he does have weapons to work with, including mm-hmm. Kelvin Benjamin. That running game just might loosen up. In fact, somebody might say, well, we'll have lots of time to talk about this the rest of today, Donald, and the rest of the week. Somebody might say, well, what's a good stat line for Nathan Peterman? You know what I think would be the best stat line to reflect Nathan Peterman's game? Like 150 yards on the ground for Shady McCoy. That means things have loosened up in the box. Mm-hmm. Peterman provides a threat, and they have to back off a little bit, and we can get the running game going.
How many attempts do you think he should get passing?
Well,
25 attempts?
Yeah. Thurman?
This is a W, right?
Yeah, it's a win, right?
Yeah.
It's a win. Yeah,
that's
definitely.
A good point.
But we're
cares,
just trying,
right?
Right, okay.
We're just trying to figure out, you know.
Right. You know what? We can sit up here for the next 3 days or 4 days until 4 o'clock Sunday. We're not going to even know.
Right.
But I think there is going to be some type of limitation that he's going to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could come out and just say, you know what?
Let's go with it.
It's on you. I mean, you've proven to us that you can do this in practice. And throughout the first how many months you've been here, 5 or 6 months,
mm-hmm.
we've seen your progress get better and better and better. Let's go for it. I mean, if we're going to throw the ball 40 times, let's throw it 40 times. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's on target, like we all say he should be, with getting the ball out real quick and everything, I mean, I see 40 passes easy.
40?
Yeah.
Okay.
If he's getting that thing out and he's getting it to those receivers, they might stick with it and continue to use
it. I would rather see 25, but I might see 40. Because you know why? I'm not quite sure what defense is going to show up.
Right. They don't even know how to play Nathan Peterman, number one. The Chargers.
The Bills defense.
The Bills defense. I'm talking about the Bills defense. Gotcha. You're looking at the last 2 weeks.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if Phillip Rivers is going to continue, if he's going to play. I mean, he's in concussion protocol right now. And you still got Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
Man, you got Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
I mean, if Phillip Rivers is playing, that defense is going to have to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. And it's not going to be like if they don't step up, yeah, you're going to see 40 passes probably in mid-third quarter.
Right.
And that won't be a win.
And
right? I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? Let's take a call here from Joey in Williamsville. Joey, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
So I just wanted to talk about, obviously, the Peterman-Tyrod exchange. And I think it's not a move that I'm in love with, but I like it in the fact that it gives us a chance to evaluate Nathan Peterman and what he could be. And you know, and maybe if we do need to draft a quarterback with our first pick in the first round next year, or if we can go with two other position players with those two first round picks, you know?
I know what you mean, Joey, but you do that at the expense of not making the playoffs? You're good with that?
I say it because of this. A lot of Bills fans coming into the season, did we expect to win? Did we expect to be in a playoff hunt right now? I didn't. I certainly didn't. But, hey.
What do your expectations have to do with it, though, really? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I went in thinking they'd win 7-9 games. I still think that's probably where they're headed, 7-9 wins. But regardless of my expectations or yours, they are what they are there with the playoff spot right now. All I'm saying is it's a bit of a risk. Would you acknowledge that, Joey? You're putting this season's success slightly at risk to find out about Peterman and move your team forward. And I understand that.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking my call, guys.
Okay.
I think
Joey just hung up on me.
He did.
Joey just hung up on me. You can't do that.
Look, the argument could be you're putting this season at risk with keeping Tyrod in and this offense just not being able to do anything because teams have the book on them and understand how to shut it down, you know. So Coach McDermott said it in his press conference. Look, I understand people want to get to the playoffs. I get that. We want to get to the playoffs this year as well. the goal is for now and for the future. And that he always has a big picture outlook on everything and trying to figure out what's best for the team. I get we want to get to the playoffs, but we want to be the team that everybody fears in this league. Right now, we are not. We haven't been that with Tyrod Taylor as a quarterback. We need to see if Nathan Peterman can change that for us. And if not, then, you know, we'll figure it out from there. Yeah. But, you know, if you keep him in there and teams understand what he's doing, what he can't do, and they shut everything down, then what? We won't be in the playoffs anyway.
Thurman, and this goes again, we're Donald and I talked about this a couple hours ago, it seems like days ago, but what they're doing here is, and Sean said it, he articulated it perfectly when he said, five wins, we're not a five-win team, we're not about being 5-4 at this point, and, you know, it's about long-term vision too. That's tough to hear, I think, for some fans when it's been 17 years without a playoff berth.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I think any coach that's coming in here, it would be tough to try to sell what you're doing or what have you after 17 years. But, hey, I trust Sean McDermott. I believe in that he was the right guy. He's the right guy for the job. And like he's always said from day one, you got to trust the process. And I think this could be part of the process. I heard you and Tasker and them talking a little bit about, like, this was the plan all along.
Well, I don't know if it was. Somebody going
to
say that.
Exactly. We're going to go through every single argument here for the next 7 weeks of was the plan or.
You can make that argument.
Yeah, you can make that argument. But, you know, I think with this organization now, with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean running it right now, you're probably going to see some things like this that's going to happen next year.
Yep.
And the year after, and the year after that. So as long as he's here, as long as those two guys are here, you're going to see some changes. I mean, they want players that's going to fit their system and fit their style, their characteristics and everything, their personality and everything on this football team. So,
look, we've said this on air, Murph. You know, when you're trying to change culture is what he's talked about. There are decisions that have to be made, and there are going to be people that like it, people that don't like it. But when you have a team that has not won in 17 years and been to the playoffs, certain decisions have to be made. The culture has to change. And when you're changing the culture, you're not all going to like it. All right. But I feel like as the coach and as the general manager, this is the best option for the team right now. If it's not, well, we made a mistake. And guess what? They're going to make some mistakes in their decisions, drafting kids, bringing people in free agency. But they feel like this is the best move for them right now.
They've been making decisions with the football team and in the organization ever since McDermott got here. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
With everything that's going on.
They're
bold moves. Yeah. But these are the moves that we probably should have been making over the 17-year course of the drought.
Right.
We never did make them. And now Coach McDermott is here. He's making them. Everybody's up. Everybody's, why are they doing this?
No, I don't know if everybody's here.
Not everybody, but, you know, most of your callers.
Oh, no, I'm kind of mixing it up. we're going to break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to hear from LeSean McCoy, and we're going to hear from Nathan Peterman to the podium. And, Thurman, thank you for stopping by.
I appreciate it.
Thurman Thomas.
Go Nate.
Go Nate. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. Our thanks to Thurman Thomas for joining us in studio. We are blessed, Donald, to have access to people like Thurman and Steve Tasker, and Ruben will be in tomorrow. You know, just wise old heads. Not old, but just guys who have been around a little bit.
You know what you meant to say. Wise old men.
It's about time for me to call somebody else old for a change. No, but guys who lend perspective to, you know, the upheaval of the day. I think it's important, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to get their perspectives and talk about, like, the whole Flutie Johnson thing, you know, because it's different from a player's perspective, you know, and especially when you've been through it, especially those guys who are, like, Hall of Famers and, you know, Wall of Famers, guys like that, when they – to get what their mindset was when something like that happens throughout the course of a season, you know, or when you're close to the playoffs or even in the playoffs, you know, these are, like, stars on the team, and they're even in shock, like, whoa. I can't believe that just happened. It's always good to talk to those guys and get their perspectives on different things that are happening and today's team.
We expect to be able to pick up Nathan Peterman's news conference. That should be coming up momentarily. When we can, we'll get to that. In the meantime, let's hear from you. Lewis calling from Batavia. Lewis, welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Hi. I feel like this, the best decision they made was to bench Tyrod. I really like Peterman. I mean, Gruden compared him to Andy Dalton. I really think that he's going to be a blessing for us.
You said he compared him to Andy Dalton?
Yeah, John Gruden compared him, like, when he was getting drafted. He said
that quarterback camp thing.
Him to Andy Dalton.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I,
nobody's pulses raced when we heard that comparison, right? Wow, yeah, Andy Dalton.
I think at least Andy Dalton completes passes for them. You know, he hasn't gotten them over the hump. You know, but that's for me, the biggest thing is I just think that Nathan Peterman is a good fit for the offense. I think Tyrod wasn't getting it done. I think this offense will have a different dynamic to it. It could even change the identity of the offense, you know. Now, you're not saying we're going to throw the ball 40 times, 50 times in a game, but the fact that you're now completing passes on time changes the outlook of this team and of this offense. It changes the way defensive coordinators have to think about you because, all right, you know, now they're running routes and they're getting the ball out on time. You know, even if he doesn't complete every single one of them, he's getting it out on time. He's throwing it all around. He's reading the defense. It's not like, okay, we're going to just sit back now. And now you might – look, the Chargers are going to do some things because he gets the ball out so fast. And if he does that consistently, they're going to try to confuse him. And it's going to be interesting to see if he can handle being confused. This is the NFL now. Even though he comes from a pro-style offense in college, you know, in college – is college. They don't run exotic defenses like they do up here at this level. And so can he handle what the Chargers are going to throw at him? And can he get the ball out fast enough to not get hit by that defensive line that has 28, 29 sacks on the air, right? So, yeah, he's going to have – this game is not going to be easy for him. He's facing a tough defense. And, you know, it's going to be a true test for Nathan Peterman. But ultimately, I think it changes – the way defenses have to play you because you have a quarterback that's getting it out of his hands, getting it into the hands of his playmakers quickly, decisively, and those guys are able to run and make plays, which will ease things up for your running back.
The Bills, you would think, and this is all speculation, lose the threat of yardage gained on the ground by the quarterback.
By the quarterback.
With this move.
They do.
How much of a hindrance will that be?
If he can throw it, that won't be an issue. Now, he showed in the preseason that he can get out and pick up first downs.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a guy who, you know, is going to take off and run and spin around and make plays and do all of that
right stuff.
You have a different quarterback.
Not going to be highlight film runs.
No, not at all. But he can pick up a first down. And that's really all you're going to ask out of him.
Yeah. Well, Nathan Peterman is making his way to the podium across the way in the Ad Pro Sports Training Center as he gets set to talk to the media. We are carving out time to talk with you about this. And yes, there is another hour to come after this, too, the 2 o'clock hour. So we will take a lot more phone calls as we move through the show. But Nathan Peterman is making his way to the podium. And I don't think he's quite there yet. So if you're the Chargers, do you have a 10 pages of your defensive game plan that just got thrown out this morning, do you think? Well, never mind. I'll get back in a second. Here is Nathan Peterman at the podium right now.
Are you surprised to be standing here today?
You know, I think you always kind of expect to have your opportunity. I knew my opportunity was going to come sometime. So for this to be it, you know, I'm trying to be ready. And I've tried to be ready since the first day I stepped here in this facility. So just trying to work hard this week and get ready for the Chargers.
How much of what you went through at Tennessee and Pitt and all that stuff, and you've been on the other side of this thing now, how much has it prepared you professionally on how to handle this morning when Tyrod's going through?
For sure. I mean, you go through a lot in college and a lot of foundational times that I think certainly helped me to get, you know, to where I'm at now. And like you said, I mean, I've been through both these situations on both sides of them. So I think, you know, it's very helpful for me and probably Tyrod, I'm sure, just to we have a great relationship still, you know, and I can, you know, keep pushing through and know that, you know, I have to earn it every day. And that's the mentality I'm taking, and I'm going to keep working.
Does the 5-4 record and knowing that you now have this, you're bearing part of this burden of a 17-year playoff drought and some veteran guys in there who haven't been to the playoffs in forever, if ever, do you accept that? Do you think about that? Or how do you put that
in your head, knowing that you're walking into a 5-4 team, knowing that you can keep them in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm walking into it because I feel like I've been part of the team the whole season, you know. And, you know, since I walked into this facility, though, after I got drafted, you know, the message has been playoff caliber, you know, and we're going to get to the playoffs. So I've always, you know, I'm right there with the team that we are 5-4. And I've tried to do everything I can, you know, on the other side, the behind the scenes to get us there. And, you know, now I'm going to try to do the same thing now that, you know, I'm kind of in front of the scenes.
What was your reaction?
About yeah, it was you know, pretty emotional, a little bit, trying not to show it, obviously, but you know, it's a dream come true, obviously, to get this opportunity, you know, and I've been through a lot, I think, to get here too, so it's certainly not done though, at all. I mean, it's a great opportunity, but it's still all in front of me, and I gotta go work to earn it.
Hey, how comfortable do you rank among the best that you've received in your football career?
It's up there, yeah, for sure. But, you know, it's only an opportunity, again. It's awesome because it is kind of uncontrollable in a sense that you can't necessarily control when you're going to play. But, you know, it's just one step, and I think I got to keep working.
Nate, how comfortable are you in this offense? It seems like, you know, the brief amount we've seen, it looks like it fits you pretty well. Similar to what you did in college?
I think there's similarities in everything. You know, football is football. You know, I've definitely worked hard to get familiar, get comfortable with things. You know, the first day of OTAs, it probably didn't look too good, and I've worked to kind of keep getting better every day. And, you know, I think hopefully I can just keep taking steps.
How about just your overall readiness at this point to step in cold this late in the year? What are some of the challenges you have to overcome, and what are some of the specific things you're focused on to make sure it goes as well as it can?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the good thing is I've seen some live action versus starters, whether it be, you know, that game in the preseason where I got in earlier than expected, and then, you know, even, you know, this past game with the Saints. But, you know, I expect, you know, I'm a rookie, so I'm sure the defensive coordinator will have something dialed up just for me, you know, being my first game. But at the end of the day, it's I got to step in, do my 1/11th, my part of this team. And, you know, I think that's the guys in the huddle expect of me is just, hey, do your job. We'll do our job. And, yeah, don't worry about too much.
How much of a leash do you expect to have knowing that the guy you're replacing had a team in the playoff hunt and that wasn't good enough for them?
I just expect to win every you know, game I'm out there. I mean, I think that's the ultimate goal. And, you know, what I measure myself on as a quarterback is, do we win? It doesn't matter about stats or anything like that. For me, it's just about winning. So my goal is to win this Sunday, and that's what we're going to work on.
What do you think went wrong overall for the offense? I'm not putting it on Tyrod, but the one game, the everything that made it stall, especially for really most of the last 2 games.
Yeah, you know, I think we had a team meeting today, and Coach McDermott kind of talked about details and fundamentals. And, you know, I think maybe we were missing those a little bit in certain aspects. And then that comes out in big ways, you know, when you're missing those little things. So that's something that, you know, we're focused on this week. I'm focused on in my fundamentals, my footwork, you know, trying to do what Coach McDermott's telling us to.
It seems like you take a lot of pride in being decisive. We talked about this in the offseason as well, which is harder for a guy who's new to it to do. Is that fair to say? And you know, quick delivery, 3-step drop as much as possible. Is that the essence of your game in your mind?
You know, I don't know if it's 3-step drop or whatever, but I think, you know, I had a coach tell me, you know, in college, it's in the NFL now, is just, you know, what separates quarterbacks from college to the NFL is anticipation. So I think that's what I try to do. I try to, you know, make sure that I'm getting the ball to guys in those windows, playmakers, and letting them do, you know, their thing with it. So I don't know if it looks quick or whatever it is, but I'm just trying to, you know, get into those windows.
What did you learn about your time last week in the game? I mean, your first action, I know you played preseason, but a little bit faster than what you used to go through preseason. Did you learn anything about yourself, about the game itself, the speed, anything like that?
You know, I think Coach Cully kind of talked to me way back in the season that, hey, once you get out there in a real game, it is kind of, you know, it's fast for sure, but things kind of clear up a little bit because guys are trying to be, you know, where they're supposed to be for sure. You don't have maybe some of the preseason confusion. So that was a little helpful. You know, it's a little faster, but overall, it was pretty comfortable out there. You know, they brought pressure on me a couple times, and You know, I feel like I was able to see it coming and, you know, just got to keep working to where I can see those things coming and know where to go with the ball when they come.
Obviously, in your wildest dreams, I mean, you know, you're thinking about so many things, but you connect with Nick O'Leary for the touchdown pass. There's no way you could have had any thought that you would be standing here today talking about preparing for your first start. I mean, just how quickly that can change. Can you, reflect back on that?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is I'm just very thankful, you know, thankful to God, especially, you know, just for everything I've been through to get me to this point. I'm then thankful to Coach McDermott, you know, thankful to Tyrod, for how he's been, you know, throughout this whole, since I walked, you know, into the facility again, you know, day one and then even till now. So very thankful to be here, but still very hungry and, very, motivated to go earn it.
How challenging is it for you to come in and lead this offense, knowing that the other guys in that huddle, how strongly they believed and were supporting Tyrod as the guy?
Yeah, I mean, you always support the starter. You know, I was so supportive of Tyrod and everything. So I think we've got a team of, you know, a lot of professionals on the team where they were very supportive of me as well, and we're still supportive of Tyrod. You know, it's a team game, and we're all teammates at the end of the day, and we're working to beat the Chargers. And so I think that's, you know, the biggest thing, you know, I think we could even see it out there today.
It's obviously been a tough situation on the other end for Tyrod, being the one who's getting replaced. I guess what, have you guys had any conversations with each other? And I guess what has he kind of said to you through this whole situation today?
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily about that, but about the plays we're running. I mean, he's been very helpful to, you know, about timing and rhythm and, you know, where he's thinking of going and things like that. So, you know, he's a 7-year vet, I think, you know, so he's very helpful in the mental aspect and very helpful of motivating me along as well.
Since the decision was made, have you had any conversations with Brandon Bean or ownership about, you know, just support or whatever, just some personal conversations?
Just Coach McDermott, yeah.
Are there any questions you're asking teammates that maybe that you've asked today that you haven't asked prior to today?
Certain little things with the line and, you know, kind of how they like things run in the huddle. You know, I, for sure, as a quarterback, you got to run things. But, you know, these guys have been in the league 8 years. So, you know, definitely want to see how things run in there and just be, again, 1/11th and be ready to plug in.
I'm not sure how many family members come to watch you be the backup. In line for more tickets this weekend?
A few more, yeah. I mean, it's in L.A., so it's a little farther away from my hometown, all the way across the country. But, yeah, I think, you know, it's special. I mean, I think any parents, it'd be pretty cool to see their son have his first NFL start. So I wanted to make sure that was possible for my parents. I'm so excited to see them to be there.
What did you tell your parents? I had to break the news to them.
Well, they were thinking about coming earlier, but, you know, it's pretty expensive to get out there. So, you know, I was just like, you know, we're going to find a way to make it possible because I don't want you to miss my first start. So they kind of, you know, were really emotional and excited about it. And it was a cool moment.
The important question is, did you tell them or your wife first?
My wife, for sure. Yeah, that's definitely the important one.
What's your relationship with Eric Wood? And will you get with him a lot more now that you're the starting quarterback?
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, really I go back to that preseason game where, you know, I had to get in when Tyrod had the injury. And I think that helped of, you know, that first live run at things and being with them. And then Eric's been very helpful of just, hey, you know, let's do these things, you know, just little things, I think, to where he can help me to be ready, you know, and be ready to go.
You prefer Nate or Nate?
It doesn't matter to me. Yeah, even my mom calls me both, so it doesn't matter.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There is Nathan Peterman. Nathan, what are we going with?
Nate.
I'll go with Nathan.
You don't go with Nathan?
You just heard him. He doesn't care.
He might say, I want to be called Nate. Call me Nate. Then when he gets in the huddle, it's like, hey, y'all call me Nate.
Speaking of that, he's on his way here. We're going to be sitting down with the Bills' new starting quarterback, Nate or Nathan Peterman, in just a minute. So come on back to John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Here we go. Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones live from One Bills Drive and just off the practice field, off the podium meeting with the media. Happy to have Bills' new starting quarterback, Nathan Peterman, with us. Nathan, congratulations. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
I'm sure you got a busy schedule with a lot going on, so making time for us is big for us. We appreciate that. You got the news about 24 hours ago. What have these last 24 hours been like for you?
Oh, very emotional, you know, obviously at first, but, you know, it kind of quickly transitioned to kind of the work mentality and, you know, me getting ready to go. And again, you know, I got to earn it, I think, every day. And so that's my focus right now, my focus Sunday and just earning it.
You know, when I was playing here, they traded or cut Lee Evans and made me the starter. And I remember my first practice, I felt like everybody was looking at me to see what – because, you know, there were some guys that were upset. You know, right. They tweeted a lot, like, are we trying to win? Are we trying to lose? What was your thought process? Did you feel like that in practice?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easy for the quarterback. You know, everybody sees them for sure. But luckily I've had a few opportunities to kind of get with the ones, you know, and have – you know, where I'm you know, the one practice in camp, I was the only quarterback out there. So I've had this, you know, a little bit before. And again, now it's just the complete focus on the Chargers, complete focus on what we're doing game plan wise and getting ready.
You know, obviously you played last Sunday against New Orleans at the end of the game, but you've said it a little bit a few moments ago, and keep getting the feeling that the preseason game number three at Baltimore, when you mm-hmm. had to be thrown into the mix, play with and against ones, that was kind of a big step for you and maybe something that led to a decision like this being made. Do you feel that way?
I don't know what, you know, kind of led to the decision. I certainly feel all of my experiences have helped me get to where I'm at and to have, you know, those past ones to where I have been with the ones and been against ones as well, I think it's been helpful.
You know, how hard is it as the backup now, we all know you're the starter now, but when you were the backup, how hard is it for you to understand what it is that they need you to do just in case you're thrown in the middle of a game? But also have to handle the scout team. Like, how do you do that at the same time?
Yeah, it is tough, you know, but, you know, working, I mean, it's kind of standing behind when it was Tyrod, you know, kind of just standing behind and watching and trying to put yourself in his shoes. And then we got a virtual reality system here too, so that kind of helped that I could get some extra reps mm-hmm. And really just try to visualize and put myself in those situations.
The Striver system, right? Is that what you use?
I believe it. That's yeah. what it is, yeah.
And if you can just let folks know how that works, you're looking at, like, the scout team, for instance, when you're the backup getting reps against the Buffalo scout team, or are you looking at the opponents?
Yeah, so they – I mean, I'm looking at us, basically. Yeah, our scout team trying to mimic him. Yeah, we can only do it for, you know, our practices. Right. But, you know, that's good because it's with our plays. It's how our plays should look against their defense. And, yeah, it was helpful for me.
How much does that help?
A lot. You know, I think obviously there's nothing like replacing real reps, you know, and getting that. But, you know, I think it's everything has helped me to get to where I'm at.
That made me feel old. I did not play that long ago, and we didn't have anything like this.
Time marches on, Donald.
It does.
You'll learn
technology
eventually.
It's crazy.
Nathan, as you look back, and we talked to you back around the draft, but what in your background has prepared you for this opportunity? Is there a person? Is there an experience? Mm. What do you think has made you ready for this opportunity this week?
I think it's tough to just pick one. I mean, there's been so many. Obviously my parents, you know, my brothers have beaten up on me, you know, as the youngest, has helped me a lot. And then, you know, I went through some tough things in college as well to where, you know, I think I've been through the highs and lows and, you know, that's how life goes. And so I think I'm ready for both, and ready to just, you know, attack it with a level head.
How many brothers do you have?
I have two older brothers.
Older brothers, yep. So they would
did
beat
they,
on you.
Did they jump you? Did they both beat on you at the same
See,
time?
See, really the middle one would beat on me and then the oldest would try to protect me a little bit, but yeah, it was back and forth.
You got to form those alliances.
That's right.
And how much family will you have out in Los Angeles this weekend?
We'll have a little bit. I think my parents, my in-laws, my wife, obviously, and then maybe one of my brothers will be making it out there.
It's a game coming up, and it's a game against a defense that poses some challenges, right, particularly in the area of pass rush, the Chargers.
For sure. I mean, they're very talented on defense. You know, like you said, those two edges are very good players. And then, you know, on the back end, they're very talented, very aggressive. They fly around and make plays.
Do you – obviously, you're going to worry about that defensive front, but you get the ball out fast. Is mm-hmm. that, you know, your way of negating any pressure getting in your face?
Yeah, I think, you know, offensive line certainly – appreciates right. it when you do that. But, you know, again, I'm just trying to kind of play within the system and play with what they're coaching me to do. And, you know, I think our offense certainly built on some timing, spacing concepts. And so I just try to go and execute those.
We had a couple of hours ago on the show one of your former colleagues at Pitt, Pat Bostic, on, who played some quarterback at Pitt. He mentioned one of your strengths is anticipation throws. What's the mindset of making an anticipation throw? Do you have to be a little bit reckless, a little bit of a gunslinger?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be able to visualize where that guy's going to be. I mean, you got to understand the defense, and I think that's why you spend so much time studying the defense, is that you understand where they're dropping to, where they're trying to defend, and then you can, you know, visualize your guys getting those windows that they're not. And I think that's been a fundamental thing that I've worked on, you know, my whole career.
How much fun is this going to be, do you think?
Hopefully a lot of fun. I mean, you play the game to have fun, you know, and that's certainly what it's been, I think, in the past. And even just being in this facility every day, preparing every day with these guys is a fun experience for me, and I'm thankful for it every day.
And before we let you go, and we've mentioned it a couple times, but he's done it again. Tyrod Taylor just strikes the perfect note when he runs into a career, you know, a hurdle like this. Mm-hmm. And I just really appreciate the way he handles stuff like this.
For sure. And, I mean, like I said earlier, I think is Tyrod's a class act guy. I mean, very professional, a guy that I look up to a lot, and I've learned a lot from this season. And I don't think that'll change as we move forward either. I'll still be learning a lot from him. And, you know, he's been great even in practice today and through the whole season.
Nathan, thanks for this. I know you got meetings to go to. We appreciate you carving out a couple of minutes for us. Thanks.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Good luck to you Sunday. Nathan Peterman, the new starting quarterback for the Bills. We're back in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Update, we got updates. An update at the quarterback position for the Buffalo Bills. As we come to you live from One Bills Drive, the Bills at 9:30 this morning announcing that they're going with Nathan Peterman as their starting quarterback for this week's game against the Los Angeles Chargers. We just had Peterman on set with us a moment ago. Tyrod Taylor benched in favor of the rookie quarterback. Head coach Sean McDermott said it's not an indictment on Tyrod. He will continue to be an important part of our team, but he's been impressed with Nathan Peterman. Tyrod's been Buffalo's starter for the last 2.5 seasons. 7-year veteran, completing a career-best 64% of his passes so far this year. It's a midseason change that is a bit of a shock for a team that currently holds the 6th playoff spot in the AFC, a wild-card playoff spot with a 5-4 record. McDermott saying that it is a move made for the long-term future as well. Nathan Peterman to start at quarterback against the Los Angeles Chargers. Tyrod Taylor said he was shocked by the decision, doesn't agree with it, doesn't like it. He also said he is the captain and will still continue to lead this team. And Taylor said he has to support Nathan Peterman. He's talented. I wish him the best. Bills wrapped up their practice here about 45 minutes or an hour ago at One Bills Drive with Nathan Peterman getting the first team reps at quarterback. No practice today for a long list of players. Left tackle Cordy Glenn with foot and ankle issues. Jerry Hughes with his shin. Mike Tolbert did not practice. Charles Clay did not practice. Rest days for Kyle Williams, LeSean McCoy, Lorenzo Alexander. Jordan Matthews limited in practice, and it looks like a full practice for rookie wide receiver Zay Jones as he gets set to come back. Meantime, out west, the Chargers say they're encouraged by the progress shown by quarterback Phillip Rivers. He's been in concussion protocol since he self-reported on Monday, but the team says they're encouraged by his progress as he battles those concussion symptoms. That bodes well for Rivers' charges of facing the Bills on Sunday at 4:05 p.m. And the Buffalo Sabres back in action Friday night when they head to Detroit. It's the first of back-to-back games this weekend in Detroit on Friday, then come back home on Saturday to play Carolina. Buffalo coming off a 5-4 overtime loss to the Penguins in Pittsburgh last night. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones, we've had a long list of guests who've come in here and talked to us about the major change at quarterback today, Donald, including our buddy Chris Brown. We had Thurman Thomas, Steve Tasker. We talked with Patrick Bostic from Pitt. And, of course, Nathan Peterman a couple of minutes ago. We were going to talk with Nick Hardwick of the Chargers radio broadcast team, their former center. We decided to put that off till tomorrow. Kind of let the dust settle a little bit. I think that's the way to go. What do you think?
I think that's smart. Kind of let things settle in. Let Nathan Peterman settle in. Everybody has to settle in with this whole decision. It's going to be talked about. We're going to talk about this every day until Sunday. And then we're going to talk about, after Sunday next week, how he played in the game. We're going to break down probably just his play in the game. Everybody else might have a horrible game, but it's all going to be about Nathan Peterman. So let's let this thing settle down a little bit.
Yeah, certainly have to say that this is a season. I've been around here a while, as you are so fond of pointing out. You certainly have to say this has been a season and really a period unlike anything in recent franchise history. The upheaval, players, coaches, general managers, blockbuster trades, big moves. This is a big move today. I haven't seen anything like it in such a – I mean, I'm talking about since, what, January, February, when the new regime took over, when McDermott came in. I've never seen anything like the last 8 months or so, 8 or 9 months.
Yeah, it was very quiet until the Sammy trade, the whole Sammy Ron Darby trade, and then after that, it was just like the dominoes started to fall, all in place. You know, it was like one thing after another, you know, and the team has now found themselves in the sixth and final playoff spot to this point, you know, but as of the last couple of games, they haven't played good, and so you see another move being made, and I think moving forward, just don't be shocked about anything that this coach and this general manager does with this team. Don't be shocked by anything because they are not afraid to make moves. They are not afraid to make trades. They are not afraid to cut people. You know, it's going to be some moves in the offseason that people won't like. Just to put it out there right now, it's going to be some cuts and things that guys that will not be on this team, people won't like it. Don't be shocked, though. They are making moves to try to change the culture, as they always say, and to get better as a team, you know, and to build a team that is consistently in the playoffs. And that's the biggest thing. Look, you make it to the playoffs this year, all right, cool, you ended the drought. But what happens next year when you're back, you know, to average 9-7 or 7-9, you know, and not in the playoffs? They want to build a team that's consistently in the playoffs, so they have to make these moves.
I won't be shocked. You know what else? I won't be as certain about a lot of things as maybe I was going into this year, because they're bold here. Things change differently. You know, the three of us, you, me, and Tasker yesterday, well, no, don't worry. They're not going to change quarterbacks, at least not now. Well, boom, that's done. Watkins trade, Marcell Dareus trade, some of the cuts they've made, shocking moves. And you know, it makes you think, okay, pay attention. Because these, first of all, there are no leaks coming out of here anymore. Right. Anybody have a preview of this coming until it was announced at 9:30? Not anyone. This organization doesn't leak, or at least hasn't. Number two, they have they're pretty definitive and pretty decisive when they decide to make a move, and it does shock you. It shocks me. So I might be shocked, but I'm also going to be speak with a little less certainty when asked to speculate on what the future might hold in terms of player moves. What are you laughing about?
Because you never know what's going to happen.
Because you don't know. Did you see this coming this week? Of course not. No.
No. I did not see them changing quarterbacks. I was going on his word from Monday.
Yeah,
from
did
Sunday
you see him
Monday.
Trading Marcell Dareus 3 weeks ago?
Marcell's a little different. You know?
Come on.
That was a little different.
We talked about you can't trade that contract. Who's going to pick up that contract? Right. They found somebody to do it.
They found somebody and sold them.
I knew Marcell was in bad graces, but I never thought they'd find somebody to make a trade with.
Yeah, they if they want something to happen, they're going to make it happen. We got to – if all we can get is a sixth-round pick for Marcell Dareus, you know what? We want to make this move, so let's make it happen.
Did you see him? Did you forecast or figure they would trade away Sammy Watkins or Ronald Darby?
No. You don't. You truly don't know what these guys are going to do. But you know, here's the question: do we feel like this because we've been dealing with the same? You've been here a lot longer than me.
The obligatory.
Because
you're an old guy reference.
We've been seeing the same, number one, NFL forever, and number two, the same Buffalo Bills for a long time. So we've gotten used to, they don't make trades in the NFL. They don't make, you know, moves like this. They don't bench the quarterback halfway through the season when they're, you know, sitting in the sixth and final playoff spot. Is that the reason why we react the way we do? Because we're so used to seeing it be the same way forever.
Back 3 weeks ago, trade deadline 2 weeks ago, you made a great point about the flurry of movement, the trades, and I agree with this, and I think you're right on here. There's a new generation of decision makers, in this case in Buffalo, it's coach and general manager, who look at it differently, are not afraid to make moves, not afraid to shake up the roster, and I've got to adjust to that. I think
we all have to adjust to it. Next year, we're probably going to see more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't remember who we had on, and he talked about trading players for cap space. You know, like when have we heard that in the NFL? This is something totally new. It's a total, you know, different thought process, different outlook on how, you know, these acquisitions are made, how these transactions are made. And so it's going to be different throughout this league. And Coach McDermott, as they talk, and Brandon Bean, as they talk about a culture and all of that stuff, it's not just a culture in that locker room. It's a culture in the transactions we make. It's a culture around this entire building, around this entire city. Don't be shocked by the moves that we make, because we're making moves based on how we feel fits best, you know, our team. Now, they're also not everything that they do is well thought out. They're not out here listening to what anybody in the media is saying about them. They don't care about what the fans really, you know, are calling for, any of that stuff. They're making moves what they feel is best for the team, whether it's a big splash name or not. This is what we feel is best for the team, and we're going to make it if we feel it's best for the
team.
It's
been a wild ride so far. It's been a fun ride. And, oh, by the way, there they are in position for a playoff spot right now.
So, I mean, you think back to when everybody, once the first trade happened, and everybody was like, this team is tanking.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go on a hot streak, and now people are like, oh, you got a chance to be in the playoffs. And you sit in the sixth spot, and then all of a sudden you go on a – you know, you lose two games and you lose them in a bad way, and then people are like, oh, this season is over. And now, first they brought in Kelvin Benjamin, and people are like, oh, this is
yeah.
We get to see Kelvin Benjamin. It's going to change things. Well, it didn't work out in his first game playing, you know, and so now you see a quarterback change. You know, like these, they are not afraid to make moves.
And it's fun to watch. Let's hear from you. Let's get your reaction. We'll go to Tim in DePew. Welcome to the show, Tim. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, guys. I really love your show.
Thank you, Tim.
I listen to it every day on my way home from work. I love your insight and your input, on your views or whatever. As far as shocking, the only thing shocking about the whole move is it took this long. And I'll tell you, the next shocking thing is how long it'll take before they realize that Mike Tolbert isn't fast enough, you know, or a big enough playmaker to be the backup to McCoy. It's heartbreaking every time you see this guy come onto the field to watch him go 2 yards in a cloud of dust.
So, Tim, what's the move then, if you believe that? And I can understand why you might.
It's been frustrating to watch him.
But what's the move? Who's the Nathan Peterman? Who's Nathan Peterman to Mike Tolbert? Who do you replace him with is what I'm trying to say.
You know what? At this point, I think Tolbert is so slow in a league that is predicated on speed. I think Mike Tolbert is so slow. He hasn't shown one thing that justifies him being the backup to your starting running back whatsoever. And I wouldn't care who they put in it.
Anybody but him, right?
It's that sad. And if you
it's
watch
pretty sad.
Games, and I know how you critique the games, you're going to tell me that this guy is any kind of a playmaker whatsoever.
Don't tell me what I'm going to tell you. I just want to know what the alternative is. I don't see it on the roster, do you? It
doesn't matter. Any alternative is better than Mike Tolbert.
I think that's a little foolish, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should give Javaris Cadet a try, you know, and see what he can bring you. He's made some plays down in New Orleans. They let him go. You got him here, give him a shot. You know, if he can help you out on special teams, give him a shot. Give him a couple of carries. Let him catch a ball out of the backfield or something and see what he can give you. You know, and look, here's the thing. Coach McDermott might be at that point. And we know he has a relationship with Mike Tolbert. He also had a relationship with Tyrod Taylor. You know, I mean, he has been adamant, and we stick behind our quarterback. We stick behind our quarterback. Well, you know, you might be at the point where maybe Coach McDermott says, all right, we need to get something out of our backup running back, too. And they give Javaris Cadet. Look, you just said it. Don't be shocked by any of the moves.
Right.
You know,
wouldn't be shocked by that.
Maybe, you know, something can happen. Maybe they'll put a Javaris Cadet in. Maybe they'll go out and sign somebody. I don't know who that would be, you know. I don't even want to say they won't make a move because I'll be wrong.
We've been wrong. Oh, here's Trent in Rochester. Welcome, Trent. You're on the air with us.
Guys, I'm a big Tyrod Taylor supporter. I have to say that first. That being said, I believe this is a great move. Nate Peterson, he has a very quick release. I do not believe it can be coached. So I believe he has an opportunity to take this job and never give it back. But the bonus is, if Nate Peterson doesn't
Peterman.
Good, I do believe we get a better Tyrod Taylor the second time around. So
what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean, Trent? A better Tyrod Taylor? What does that mean?
Tyrod Taylor knows that he's too conservative. And if he's going to come back in after seeing Nate Peterson throw the ball after 1 second and not have to cause the line to block all day, he's got to take that and say, hey, I need to improve on my
I see what you mean. Throwing. Some people, including my partner here, don't think he'll ever get that opportunity here in Buffalo, right?
I don't think he should get that opportunity, not this year. I think they need to stay with Nate Peterman. And to be honest with you, that's not Tyrod Taylor's game. Look, he's been a starter now 2.5 years. You know, if he was going to truly improve on his release time and things like that and reading defenses and being decisive, you would have seen it. It's not his game. You know, he plays the game with his legs and making big plays. Nate Peterman has been trained his entire life because he didn't have that those legs. You know, he couldn't just scramble and get out of anything and run around and make plays. Because of that, he was trained differently to read the defenses and get the ball out quickly. It's just two different games, and it's we could sit here and say, look, you know, Tyrod will look at Nate Peterman and see that he gets the ball out of his hands. We saw it back in the preseason.
Yeah.
And how everybody was saying they need to put Nate Peterman in. Tyrod would have thought back then, maybe I should get the ball out of my hands quickly.
I think we've seen Tyrod the best and the worst, right?
Right.
2.5 years. What did I say, 38 starts, 20 wins, 18 mm-hmm. losses? Mm-hmm. Like I said, I think we know who he is. Paul calling from Hawaii. Hello, Paul. Welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, I'd like to upset McDermott. I know this had to be a very difficult decision, especially for a head coach. It's going to be questioned. You know, we don't make the playoffs, and if we do, he's a hero. I believe when he looked at the tape, he saw the ceiling with Tyrod. I like Tyrod's skill set. It's very difficult to defend him. However, you saw the last couple weeks where they forced him to be a quarterback, and they're going to have to score points if they're going to go further than just the first round of the playoffs. The only thing I am upset with is because of the time difference when I looked up, Nate Peterman was off every single waiver wire.
Nate, we lost you kind of there. What did you say, Paul? Repeat that last line, please.
Oh, I said the only thing I'm upset about is when I woke up this morning because of the time difference, Nate Peterman was off every single fantasy football waiver wire.
Waiver wires. Oh, everybody drafted him, huh?
I got you.
Everybody drafted him. Let me tell you. It's funny to see everybody draft him against this defense. People who are drafting him would be like, I don't know about Nate Peterman against that defense. This is a opportunistic defense, a very aggressive defense, as he pointed out, and a defensive line that gets to quarterbacks. You know, so I don't know if I would have drafted him. Maybe you draft him and just have him on as your backup. You know, maybe that's what everybody was doing.
Call here from Joe in Rochester. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm intrigued by something. Yesterday when I was listening to the show, people were calling in and saying they should make a change in quarterback. But John, both you and Donald were relatively adamant about it's probably not appropriate. We know what we got. We're in a playoff position. Now, today, just a few minutes ago, I heard Donald say, well, this is our best option to win. When yesterday Tyrod was the best option. And John, you said, well, we wouldn't want to muddle through the rest of the season with Tyrod Taylor. I really don't know what decisions to make. What made you guys think today is so much different than what you talked
about? Yeah. I just want to clarify. I said you wouldn't – no, wait a minute. About the muddling through, I said they could have muddled through the rest of the season with Tyrod Taylor. They could have. That would have been – quite frankly, the easy choice. They chose today not to do that. I didn't say they wouldn't want to. I said they could have chosen to muddle through. What made it easy? I don't know. I'm going to take Sean McDermott on the face of it. And, you know, Monday, Sunday, he was talked to the media Sunday, talked to the media Monday. I talked to him later on in the day Monday when we taped the show. And, you know, he was pretty adamant. Tyrod Taylor is our quarterback. So his mind changed over the last 48 hours. My mind really hasn't changed. I could have gone either way with it. Go ahead. What'd you say?
What Sean? When you listen, what Sean said in his press conference about the change, I do think he's more concerned, as he has been, about the long term. I'm not so sure he wants to preserve this playoff run. I think when you really look at his words and listen to his words, because he does talk about the playoff run, but we're in it for the future. We're in it for the long term. That type of thing is coming back. So I almost think he's saying, well, we lost these two games. Let's not be so adamant about making the playoffs this year. And if it happens, it happens. But let's look at what we got so we can make some decisions at the end of the year.
I understand that. I don't necessarily agree that's his mindset, but I understand why you might feel that way. Donald, do you have anything to add to this?
I don't agree at all.
Okay.
I don't. I think that he wants to win right now. I think he's looking at it, and he watches the film and says, look, we need to make a change so that we can spark this offense, all right? It hasn't been working with Tyrod Taylor. Let's do something else and see if this kid can spark our offense, if this kid can get the ball around. And if he can, it will help out our running game, and that will help us get back on the winning track, you know? And then at the same time, we can figure out if this kid is the quarterback for the future of our franchise or if we need to go out and draft someone. Coach McDermott, and no coach in this league, I'm sorry, but – you get fired too fast in this league, and you don't get that opportunity enough for you to go out there and tank seasons. You don't get that opportunity enough to go out there and say, I don't really care about this season.
No,
I'm just worried about the next season.
And I don't even know the caller is gone, I guess. I don't even know if he was suggesting tank as much as he was what changed in Coach McDermott's mind. You know, I can't deny it. It's a risk. I've said it before. I think you and Steve were laughed it off. It is a risk to take a 5-4 team in the sixth spot in the standings in the playoffs if the season ended today and replace quarterbacks and put a rookie in there, an untested rookie. Yeah. It is a risk, no matter how you want to slice it. It might work out. It might not. And if it doesn't, that is squarely on the shoulders of the head coach. As he said today, this is my decision, not anybody else.
Yeah, and if he kept Tyrod in there, then everybody would be
saying – That's the muddle through part.
Yeah. You know, and if it didn't work out, then he'd be like, well, you should have made changes at the quarterback.
Right.
So you can't please everybody. You just got to make the decision when you evaluate the film that you feel is best for the team, you know. And I think probably after watching a little bit of that game last week and going back to the Baltimore game in the preseason and just watching him every day in practice, all right, well, maybe this kid is up to speed now. Maybe we can put him out there and see what he can do, if he can spark something for this team so that we can continue on this run.
And Brownie's word, I think, is important. And Brownie kept talking about functional, you know.
Yeah.
He wanted to make the offense more functional. And there were highs and lows with this offense under Tyrod Taylor. And maybe they want more consistent level of performance. I would assume that was part of it, too.
You want more consistent level of performance, but the last 2 weeks, the offense really wasn't functional.
Right.
You know, the last 2 weeks was like, we can't get anything done on offense. Now, even Coach Rick Dennison is probably up there trying to figure out, what do I call now? Like, we can't do anything because they're shutting down what our quarterback is strong at doing. And because of that, we can't throw it. We can't run it because they're stacking the box as well. This offense is not functional, you know, and we need to, as an offense, be able to help out our defense, and we need to stay on the field. We need to stay on the field, have 7-8 play drives, 10-12 play drives. We need to take some shots down the field. We need to get the ball to Kelvin Benjamin, who we just brought in here, the big new shiny, you know, 6'5", 6'6" wide receiver. You got to get him the ball, you know.
Yep.
So that's what – and I think Coach McDermott has probably been thinking about this for a little while. But when he looked at the last 2 weeks, it was like, we got to make this change.
It was a good question, by the way. Thanks for calling from Rochester. It's a fascinating move, I think. It's a gutsy move for a team that's in the position they're in. And how will it resonate in the locker room? Well, LeSean McCoy met with the media a couple of minutes ago and gave all the media his thoughts on the decision today for the Bills to bench Tyrod Taylor and go to Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, coming in with Tyrod, playing with him. You know, so I guess it's up to the coaches, and they made the move. Tyrod's a solid teammate, so I'm sure he'll help Nate out and help him out with the reads and preparing for this week. And I'll do the same.
As a veteran guy on a team that's right now in the playoff mix, are you a little surprised by this move?
Yeah, I think everybody was kind of surprised. Nobody really knew until just today. We've been struggling, I think. Everybody has been struggling the last 2 weeks. I guess we're a little surprised.
LeSean, is it fair to pinpoint the struggles of the offense on Tyrod Taylor? A move like this kind of shows that.
Yeah, well, we're all together. You know, not playing well. You know, from him to me to guys up front, other playmakers. Just not playing well together on offense. You know, simple as that.
You mentioned that you're going to try to help out Nathan. What will you do? What does that consist of, trying to help him?
Just let him know, man, that, hey, I'm sure we'll see something different from that defense, considering that you're a rookie starting, you know, quarterback on the road, you know. So I'm sure they'll bring up maybe different blitzes or show different coverages. I just told him to prepare well, prepare hard. You know, any questions, you know, ask them now. Make sure everybody's familiar with you. You know, and just be confident. That's the biggest thing.
From what you've seen of him, which I know isn't a whole lot, does he look like he's a guy who can handle this jump this week?
Well, I don't know. I don't think nobody knows that answer. We'll see this week how he handles himself. And the hard thing is, like, it's tough for him because if he does good, then it's like, oh, man, he's the answer. And if he doesn't do well, it's like, ah. You know, so it's one of the things that I just told him is, hey, just go out there and just try to be confident, you know. Know what everybody has to do on the offense. you know, study hard and prepare, because at the end of the day, people want to write what they want to write or view you how they want to view you. Like I said, if he does good, it's like, oh, he's the answer. But if he doesn't do good, it's like, oh, you know, what happens with the Bills offense now? You know, so we'll just wait and see. We'll see how he does. But a lot of the veteran guys on offense got to help him out.
He is a pit guy.
That's a good thing. Yeah, that's the biggest, I think, positive thing about it. In my eyes, he's a pit guy. So,
LeSean, when it comes to, I mean, this team has gone through several shocks already. Sammy, Anquan, Darby, just injuries and things like that. I mean, at some point, does, you know, how do you stay resilient? And how do you keep up with, you know, just one shock after another that comes through this? And does it wear on you?
Oh, hey, we just got to stick at it. You know, it's a different team, but the same mindset every week. You know, prepare hard, study hard. You know, go out there and give 110%. That's all you really can do.
And Sean told you guys the news. Was there any sort of pushback from players that this was not the right move?
Guys really didn't voice their opinions about it. It happened so fast. You know, and we got to prepare for our next opponent. You know, which is a must-win type situation for us, sitting at 5-4. So, I mean, a lot of guys haven't really showed too much, I guess, reaction about it. It really just happened.
Is there any part of you, Packers, must hit you personally in some way?
Yeah, I mean, we're good friends, you know, for sure. And I think he's a heck of a player. I guess any time when your teammates gets benched, you know, it's tough. I'm sure if I got benched, it would feel the same for me. But at the end of the day, man, it's next guy up. Myself and Tyrod will support, you know, we'll support Nate and we'll get him ready to play. Same with the coaches, you know, and other guys on offense.
Is there any part of you, LeSean, that wonders or worries or whatever, concern that this is a rookie? And as you said, you don't know how this is going to go when you, for the obvious reasons, he's a rookie. And you have this playoff thing still very much in sight. Does it concern you that a move like this could tilt that balance in the wrong direction?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I really can't give you my honest opinion about. I'm not sure. Like I said, if you're in it today, we'll be in, you know. But I guess they made the decision based on if it's a good shot for us to win games, you know. So whatever that, you know, the reason may be, you know, I don't know that answer. Only thing I could do is just support my teammates, you know, go out there and give 110% and try to win games, you know, play better, just try to win.
LeSean McCoy talking to the media a couple of moments ago here at One Bills Drive on the news that Tyrod Taylor's been benched. Nathan Peterman is in as the starter. It is a risky move. I think LeSean talked about that a little bit, or danced around it a little bit anyway. We had a couple of people tweeted and said it would be a real risk to continue to play Tyrod Taylor, but I don't see it that way because you know what you're getting from Tyrod Taylor, and, you know, he's on a pace to, you know, they're on a pace to win 9 games if they keep this up, which may or may not catch you in the playoffs. It, you know, you could argue, and I would argue, you might not have a better sense of where you go next year at quarterback, but I think it's a risk. And it's a bigger risk to me than continuing to play Tyrod, isn't it? I mean, tell me why.
I don't think so. I think it's a risk when you keep him in there the way he plays. Like, think about,
I'm talking about a risk to miss the playoffs.
Well, I know what
this
you're saying.
Year I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And that is a risk, you know, but I think the reward, they look at the reward as being higher than what the risk is, you know. They look at it saying, if we stick with Tyrod, we know what we're getting from Tyrod, and that's not enough, you know. And that is not enough for us to be able to get to the playoffs, because our offense is not able to do anything. We can't score the points that we need to score. It's wearing down on our defense, going out 3-and-out so many times. And so because of that, we should go ahead and make a change and see if this kid can spark something for us. You
I see
know?
What you're saying. I got to think about that. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
I mean, and Sean McDermott addressed it. He said, look, we're not here to go 5-4 or,
right,
you know, win 8 or 9 games at the end of the year, which is the pace they're on.
Right. He wants it to be better, you know. And so to be better, you got to take a risk. You can't just stick with – what did I say yesterday? Dance with the girl who brought you?
Yes.
And you said dance with the girl you brought.
Yes. They've decided to swap out for another girl.
They did. They went to the bathroom and found somebody, came back on the dance floor with somebody else.
All right, we're going to break. We're going to hear from more from Sean McDermott and his morning news conference, and plus more of your phone calls. The lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy and Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio. Welcome all of you tuned in. Welcome all of the studio audience.
See the finish line.
The Bills made a big move today, and we're going to talk about it. But we do want to kind of recap what's going on, and who better to recap than the head coach, Sean McDermott, who made the announcement today, 9:30 this morning, at his regular Wednesday news conference. He stepped to the podium and made the announcement that Peterman is in, Tyrod is out. Here's what it sounded like.
First and foremost, it was a decision made by myself. The coaches were not involved in this decision. This was a decision that I made. Certainly I spoke with Brandon like I do about every decision, like we do. And really it's about becoming a better team. And like every position, quarterback position is no different. I understand the headline part of it, as you guys are typing away this morning. I understand that. Every position is evaluated, and that's the direction I decided to go.
There's a certain coach concern that doing this now, while you're still very much in the playoff hunt, could in any way send a message to your, the wrong kind of message perhaps to your locker room, that going with a rookie over a veteran under these circumstances?
I get that. I understand that, Vic. You know, really it's about, like I mentioned before, becoming a better team. That's what we're here for. And, you know, we are 5-4. I understand that, and we are in the playoff hunt at this point. It is always and will forever, for the time that I'm here, will be about becoming the best team that we can possibly become. And we are made for more than 5-4, and I've come here to be more than 5-4.
What did you see in 9 games that wasn't evident the last 2 years with Tyrod? Because there were people who felt you should have moved on from him as soon as you came here.
Well, again, this is about becoming a better team. And Tyrod has made improvements. He's made a significant contribution to our team, and I remain confident in Tyrod moving forward. This is not an indictment on Tyrod. He is an important part of our football team and will continue to be an important member of our football team moving forward.
Sean, in terms of the Ritz offense and the way you guys operate, do you feel as you make this decision that Nate just fits better as a pocket passer in the particular structure that Rick has developed? Is that part of what led to the decision?
You know, listen, Nate, two separate conversations, Nate conversation and Tyrod conversation. I'll just talk about Nate, if I could. You know, Nate, I've been impressed with Nate and his maturity as a rookie at a very early point in his career. And he's certainly worked hard. When you look at Nate and what he was able to do through OTAs, through training camp, through preseason, and then the other day, I thought he did some good things, albeit that was a small sample size in a game, a regular season game. So that said, he has a lot of work to do, just like we all do.
That is Sean McDermott, a portion of his comments from earlier today, 9:30 news conference. The crux of it, Donald, the nub of it, the quote, he said, we are made for more than five or four. That's what he said. We are made for more than 5-4. I am not here to be 5-4. That's his rationale. I get what he's saying. I understand it.
I get it. They're not made to be 5-4, and the offense wasn't functional, especially in the last 2 weeks. And because the offense wasn't functional, maybe you saw a trickle-down effect throughout the rest of the team. The defense didn't play well either last week, you know.
But really?
they played horrible, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, offensively, if we just can make a play, you know, maybe it can get things going in the right direction for our entire team. They weren't able to do that. They were three and out, three and out.
I showed you Monday the play that bothered me. I'm haunted by the
the
dump off pass to the check down to Shady for 1 yard.
To LeSean McCoy.
And Kelvin Benjamin is right there where you need him to be, right there why you traded for him, and he never threw it.
And, you know, you're still going to get some check downs from Peterman, but here's what you will get. You will get him reading the defense, decipher, okay, this is a check down throw. You know, you're not going to get him standing, and then look over and try to check it down. You're going to get a quick decision, and usually it's because he read something in the defense where he felt like that was the right place to go with the ball. You know, it's tough to watch them just check. I tweeted it out on Sunday. Yeah. Like, what's up with all the check down throws?
If you are correct, and you may be that, you know, Tyrod's won't get a chance to play here again, and I wouldn't argue with that point on you. That play, the check down pass 1 yard to LeSean McCoy, will be the play that is indelibly in my memory for Tyrod Taylor.
And there's been some big plays, good plays that he's made.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that play is like
someone to copy. Here's a call from Will. Hi, Will. You're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
Great.
Oh, it is. Honestly, I think I could speak for a couple of Bills fans. It is Christmas morning for some of us. While sitting on hold, had some time to reflect. Honestly, I think this was probably the best time to make this choice. You're looking at a weak Chargers team. You've got a couple of tough ones, i.e. the Patriots and KC coming up. With making this change now, these teams don't have time. They don't have film on Nathan Peterman. So now they're all scrambling. What are we going to do? See what he does. And now that with Phillip Rivers in concussion protocol, I think this is going to be the best time for Nathan Peterman to get out there, show what he can do. Again, not against a number one quarterback for the Chargers, but this gives us the best opportunity. I think if we had waited one more week, you know, against KC, which they're already going to be a tough opponent, I think it would have been a change a little too late. But
I caution everyone listening right now, the Chargers are not as weak as their record might suggest. I caution everyone. They are not a weak team. Look, they've lost a lot of close games, and traditionally over the past years, since Phillip Rivers has really been the quarterback, they are in so many games every season. It's like they just find a way to lose games, you know. But we went into the Jets game thinking that that was a weak team, especially since the Bills had already beat up on them in week one, and look how that turned out, you know. So.
Yeah.
I caution everyone that is not a weak team. This Bills team has to play a lot better than they did, or the outcome of the game will be the same as it was the Saints game.
Yeah, I just watched a little bit of Chargers last night. I don't think they're a weak team. You know what they are, though? And we'll talk about them the next few days. They're a sloppy team, Donald.
That you can
say. They're a sloppy team, just stupid mistakes at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to pull your hair out. Not that I root for the – well, actually, I like Anthony Lynn a lot. I want him to succeed. I like Tom Telesco a lot. You know, I want him to succeed, but they're just so sloppy right now.
I want them to win – not tomorrow. I mean, not this week. But I want them to be a winning franchise because I think – it will be better for the league.
Yeah.
I think that is a franchise in a weird situation right now, and it's not a good look on the NFL, you know, because they have moved to L.A. They don't have fans to fill up a 30,000-seated stadium. It's just not a good look on the league, and so I want for that franchise to be a lot better, and I think they have a lot of talent on that team. But like you said, they are playing. They have a lot of young talent, and they're playing very sloppy, you know, and so because of that, they find ways to lose games. But if the Bills don't come ready to play – that sloppy play, they're going to end up blowing the Bills out in L.A.
Yeah, it's such a small stadium with kind of limited support from L.A. And Nathan Peterman sat with us about a half hour ago. Shoot, he might have his family alone might account for most of the crowd. Right? Brothers and mothers and fathers and
oh, that's
wife.
The whole Nathan Peterman section of the stadium right there.
All right, we're going to break. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. What do you think we learned? At 9:30 this morning, we learned that the Bills are switching starting quarterbacks, going with Nathan Peterman. And we heard Sean McDermott give the rationale why.
First and foremost, it was a decision made by myself. The coaches were not involved in this decision. This was a decision that I made. Certainly, I spoke with Brandon, like I do, about every decision, like we do. Really, it's about becoming a better team. And like every position, quarterback position is no different. I understand the headline part of it. As you guys are typing away this morning, I understand that. Every position is evaluated, and that's the direction I decided to go.
John McDermott on the decision to move to Nathan Peterman as the starter. Peterman, of course, product of the University of Pittsburgh, and we spoke earlier today with a guy who's been around that program for a long time, color analyst on the Pitt Panthers radio network. He played quarterback himself at Pitt. Pat Bostic praised the maturity that Nathan Peterman has shown since his days at Pitt.
He's a gracious young man that is values the opportunity he has and doesn't take anything for granted. He genuinely loves the game, and it's evident in how he handles himself. I mean, he is a mature kid. He's a mature man, and I think that'll certainly help him. If he goes out and has success, then certainly we're rooting for him to tear off 5-6 wins in a row here.
So are we. What have we learned, Donald? You know what I've learned? I'm repeating myself a little bit. I've learned that, one, don't think you know what they're thinking here in the football department, because you'll be surprised from time to time, and more often than not. Two, I've learned that it's a juggling act that they're trying to perform here. We're going to see how it plays out, to juggle long-term concerns with short-term interests, making the playoffs, et cetera. I think it makes for a really interesting final seven games this year, as if they needed more to make it interesting.
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, they made it interesting just by losing the last two games. Well, now they made it more interesting with, especially on a national scale, everybody's going to be looking to this team right now to see what Nathan Peterman can do in this offense. I'm interested to see what he can do as well. I think it's going to be a different offense. It might even change the identity of their offense. You know, this is something that we all have to watch to see. I'm looking forward to Sunday, and it's only Wednesday.
All right, we're back tomorrow at noon, we think, unless there's some other earthquake here at One Bills Drive. Uh-huh. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistance today from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Olivia Merrill, and Shelby Rush. Our producer, Jay Harris. Back at noon tomorrow with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.